You shouldn't need a game plan just to get out of the car. Joint Relief Institute can help you. Fast, non-surgical, immediate pain relief and covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Yeah, that kind of does take us back to the days when we would play the long theme because we were trying to get Milt Rosenberg and his guests to remember that there was another show starting and they kind of needed to get out of the studio.
We didn't have a big enough broom to sweep him out of the studio.
And we've also said over the years that we have very few secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Some, but very few.
Very few.
So we're going to be very candid. Mm-hmm. This may be one of those nights. There are technical things.
I know.
The technical gremlins that have decided to...
Yeah, I needed that sigh. I really did. I posted our pictures of our drive into the station tonight.
Are they up yet?
Not one time. Uh-huh. Not two times.
Yeah.
Not three. But look and see if four times is the charm. I literally posted them, walked away and came back, and they were gone. And I thought, what is going on?
It sounds like the scream may be coming back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, they are finally up.
Yes. Yes.
And I will answer the other problem that we're having.
Yes.
Two-factor authentication has now been enabled on that. So we have to go and we have to do that. And that's just a technical hoop we need to jump through.
Yes. But everybody should be on board with pass keys and two-factor authentication.
But this was a change to something in
that we use in-house.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. By the way, when you look at our pictures, you will see a gorgeous, I'm not bragging. It's not bragging if it's true, right?
It ain't bragging if you've done it.
Yeah. Picture of the Wrigley building from our vantage point here on the 18th floor.
By the way, I really like that picture of that new building that you put up.
But the Wrigley building picture is absolutely
stunning.
I'm getting there. I saved it to the very end. And Ron, where you're sitting, you can see the Wrigley building is the top of it is lit up in red lights.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
So I did a little search to find out what that's all about. Apparently, the red lights on top of some of our buildings in the skyline are in support of Red Ribbon Week to raise awareness about the benefits of living a drug-free life.
Okay. Oh, those are gorgeous pictures.
It's just weird when you have to go looking for the reason why something looks like that. I thought, well, it's not for the Bulls. And let's see, red.
That would have been very logical.
Yeah. They did not alert the newsroom that I'm aware of.
They did not.
No press release.
I had to go looking for that, too. And then I thought, maybe.
There should be a website dedicated to building lights. Why are the building lights?
Engineer Bob Fukuda's in here. Oftentimes, you have come in and said, I found, here's the reason why there are blue lights on top of the building or whatever. And usually there's a significant reason if it's the Bears or there's some big sporting event, right, or a marathon.
Would be nice, yeah.
It would be nice to, they should be calling Bob to tell him.
If they would, that would also be nice.
That would be very nice.
Yep.
Or get the maintenance for the Wrigley building on speed dial or something.
Yes, right.
Like, hey, what's going on?
Apparently, it's not just the Wrigley building, though. They claim that a number of buildings on our skyline should be decked out in red lights. But the Wrigley building, the top of it is really impressive
tonight.
And
the picture that, and again, go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And you can see the pictures Johnny's talking about. But the picture you got with the sunset behind the building, it is just a spectacular picture.
Yeah, this is a great. In fact, Ron's got an even better view from his room, right?
Because just right over my right shoulder.
And you're looking straight down. Aren't you looking straight down Columbus?
Columbus, yes.
Right. So you could see all the traffic, too. And usually before we leave here, I like to step into the newsroom and take a picture just to show people how quiet it is at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's like three cars out there, three cars looking for trouble.
And how quiet it should stay.
Stay, yes, exactly. Well, welcome to May. We're in May. I feel compelled to say that.
Wait a minute. Is Jimmy Kimmel listening? I can't believe it's May already.
I know.
Is it May already? Can you believe it's May?
We're trying to get on his show because he does a little montage of news people around the country every month when they all go
on morning news shows saying,
what?
Can you believe?
How did that happen?
This month has just flown right by. Here we are in May already.
By the way, we need to introduce you to our producer du jour for tonight, and that would be your Jeff Carlin. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, good evening.
Hey, Jeff.
How we doing?
Oh, Jeff.
How we doing tonight?
Oh.
I don't know.
Am I too loud? I can never tell.
No, you're fine. You're just real chipper. We're in here sputtering and kicking and muttering. And he's
Can you really not tell how we're doing tonight, Jeff?
I'm cranked. I actually have a correction for you already. It's actually the red is lit up for fallen firefighters. This is
even better.
April 26th to May 3rd is
okay.
Light the night for fallen firefighters 2026. So that's what we're seeing.
Well, right, talk about things that they really should promote.
Yeah.
Because literally, when I looked it up, what came up was red lights are signifying this effort to raise awareness about a drug-free life.
Right. And I think that week is in October, kind of a precursor to the holidays to try to get people to kind of...
Now, Jeff, where did you find... Is there a... Because there needs to be a site that says, here's why the lights are changing on Chicago buildings.
Yeah, there should be. I did not find that. I just was looking for keywords that tied into today's date and red and lights. And there was a national push to put red lights out, and the Wrigley building has been part of it in the past. So I just put two and two together, and that's where I came up.
Well, that's even better. I'm glad you clarified that and corrected it, because that's big.
See, we haven't been on the air 5 minutes, and we're being corrected already.
I know. It's going to be
just imagine what's going to happen over the next 5 hours.
Very interesting night, yes. But we got a lot of things coming up tonight. In fact, May is shaping up to be a really fun month because we don't have any sporting events that bump us, so we have full shows in May. In fact, next Saturday night...
Speaking of sporting events, I have to ask, Ron, how are the Sox doing? Do we have a Sox score yet?
Yes, we do. 2-0. Sox are leading in the seventh inning.
They have been just on a tear.
And the Padres are a good team, too.
Yes. And they looked like the Keystone Cops. They were just kind of stumbling last night, bumbling around.
Last night was like, what was it, final, like an 8-2 or something like that? Or it was just
And it was only that horrible eighth inning. I get so nervous in the eighth inning because things historically have fallen apart in the eighth inning. And that's when they scored two runs in the eighth inning.
But back to your point, that we have full shows for all of May.
Yes, yes.
And we should mention, too, that something that we're going to be observing in a couple ways tonight, May is Celiac Awareness Night.
Month.
For those of you... okay, correction number...
two. I'll keep a little tally list over here.
Okay.
Bob does that anyway every week, so...
And for those of you who have been with us for a minute or two, you know that I was diagnosed with celiac sprue back in 2001. And so this is my 25th year, and fortunately, more people are becoming aware of celiac disease, what it can do. One in 100 people on the planet have celiac disease. Those are the latest statistics.
And probably one in 50 of them don't know it.
Yeah. So we're going to a couple things going on tonight. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with one of the representatives from the Chicago Cubs who are doing a celiac awareness night.
Day.
Which is...
Number three. Correction number three.
Keep it up, and I got a correction for you.
Well, it's tomorrow, Sunday, day.
And also throughout the month, Johnny is going to be sharing each week for the next several weeks one of her recipes.
Yes, yes, yes. And I will continue to bring in things and foist them on people here at the radio station. Tonight, it's chocolate peanut butter Rice Krispie bars. And you might say, well, that's super simple. Well, no, Rice Krispies.
Well, that's super simple.
Rice Krispies are not gluten-free, so you have to be very careful. You look at them, you think that's rice, that should be okay, but no, they're not. They're no longer gluten-free. So I have tips on how to make things safely in case you're cooking for family or friends or for yourself. So, but I wanted to mention that next week on the show, since Ron is with us, I wanted to tell him one of his colleagues will be in studio with us next Saturday.
Oh, I've heard about this. Bob Kessler.
Bob Kessler, who has a terrific new album out.
Yes, he's going to leave his news hat at home, and he's going to come in here as Well, I've always called him a Renaissance man because we've watched him grow up, and he would say, I want to play the saxophone. And then a lot like Spike Odell.
Correction. Clarinet.
Was it clarinet?
It was clarinet.
Okay, number four.
Ha! I got a clarinet.
Four.
Okay. I got one.
Well, anyway.
I was going to be surprised. I was like, he plays the clarinet? He plays the saxophone?
Yeah, I wasn't going to question it. He could do anything he wants, pretty much.
Well, exactly. That's the way Spike was. Spike would literally one day he said on the air, I think I'm going to start painting. And people said, oh, you paint? He goes, no. And he stopped on his way home and he bought paints and he's an amazing artist.
Jeez.
Yeah, he says, I think I'm going to get a piano. Oh, you play piano? I never have. He got a piano, plays a piano. I am so envious of people like that. I say I want to do these things, and then you know, the Lord says, no, not you.
And if you follow Spike on Facebook, he has, over the past month or so, he's been doing some really creative stuff using AI. He writes songs, but then there is an AI voice that will sing the songs. He's a good songwriter.
A lot of people think that those are songs sung by Spike.
No, like, that's not Spike's voice. They are his songs.
I'm not real keen on the whole AI music. That's frightening to me. And if you are a musician, I'm sure it's frightening to musicians as well. In fact, just as an aside, we recently found out that the Berklee School of Music is embracing AI for
music. Controversial course that they're using right now.
Because the musicians are going, oh, well, great. Then why am I going to school? Why am I doing this? Why am I spending a fortune? Why am I trying? Because a computer can do this probably better than me, is what you're saying. So,
I'm going to say that we should stop talking for a second, take care of some business, and then come back and share more of the stuff that's coming up tonight. We should mention a little later tonight, Tom Appel will be joining us. And for people who are asking, Tom's feeling a whole lot better, which is why he's able to join us tonight.
Right.
Also a little later tonight, I didn't realize that it has been 30 years for the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
I know, up in Skokie.
They are celebrating an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And a little later tonight, Merrill Miller, who is the manager of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts, is going to be joining us and sharing a little bit of the story of their 30 years and giving us an idea of who might be coming up there over the next few months.
I've taken a peek at the lineup. It's very impressive.
Also, a little later tonight, I'm going to share a partly personal story that I just found out about something this week.
Thanks to
one of our listeners who texted me. I'm not going to say what, but one of my songs is now being used in a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
where can I spend that money? Oh, that's right. You don't get a penny for that. Because people automatically say, oh, so you get paid. No. Doesn't work that way.
But I think, as of this, I think I'm going to look into some options.
Yes, get you a lawyer, young man. Get on that right away.
And we also have a little later tonight, we're going to share some new videos that are posted.
Mm-hmm.
And but those of you who subscribe to our blog already know about this. That's one of the perks of subscribing to our blog. You've already seen the videos.
You're such a tease. Such a tease. Yes, I'm really excited about the videos because one of our favorite groups, two-thirds one of our favorite groups, in here just a couple weeks ago, and Julian was here to do the videography.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Julian is no longer our producer. He is still our videographer.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we can say we have a videographer.
We do.
Yes.
He is our very own videographer.
He's our very own professional videographer. Yes. And he's quite good, too. In fact, last week when we mentioned that he was in doing some video for us when we had River Road Trio in here, a couple of people said, oh, does he do weddings and bar mitzvahs? And yeah, that's one of the things he does professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So you can reach out to me, and I'll put you in touch.
And he's a super nice guy.
He is. He's
a
sweetie.
Well, there's that, too.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the bonus.
Real quick, Ron, before you put your news hat back on, you do movie reviews on Thursdays with Lisa.
Yes.
What did you see this past week?
I saw Michael, the movie, yes.
And?
What are you thinking? Because I'm hearing really mixed reviews.
Well,
that's
right on the money. I mean, it's good for the musical performances and for the dance sequences and the onstage stuff, but in between, it's very lame. It's just, it's like a comic book. And I think that was okay, because it doesn't, it doesn't really detract from the great music that's there. And it's a Michael Jackson impersonator, because he's doing his singing with enhanced vocals from Michael Jackson helping out a little bit, but it's basically watching a Michael Jackson impersonator on stage, and it's exciting music. So it's just in between is, you have to sit through that. So
the meat of the movie really stinks.
But it was entertaining. I was entertaining. I have to say, I liked the parts that I liked. How's that?
Now there's the quote.
There you go.
That goes on the box.
I do enjoy the review from Little People. Who, they're just in love with Michael Jackson's moving and his music and such. And a couple of my friends took their grandkids and their kids, and they said they were just over the moon. They were so excited to see. Mm-hmm. It was like being at a concert. So that's very cool if that works.
And I mean, they just chose not to tell us a dramatic story about his life. And it's just more like a comic book version of he's the nicest guy who ever was. And he is a musical genius. And his father was a really bad man.
Oh.
That's pretty much in a nutshell. It's what you get from the movie.
Well, now put your news hat on.
Okay.
And we will be right back after a news update here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. As we mentioned earlier, May is Celiac Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you who have been with us for more than a day or so know that I have been diagnosed with celiac sprue back in 2001. So I've been dealing with this for 25 years. It's a whole lot better than it used to be. But it's surprising the number of people that still don't know that they, in fact, have celiac. But fortunately, there are more avenues in more places that are becoming aware of it and trying to make it easier for people who are dealing with celiac sprue to enjoy whatever. And one of the organizations that is doing that, and I couldn't be happier, the Chicago Cubs.
Yes, we are tickled, because what we're going to be doing over the next five Saturday nights is taking a short segment of each one of our Saturday night shows and raise your awareness of celiac disease and living the gluten-free lifestyle. And the Cubs are where we're going to start it this time around, because we have the Executive Vice President of Marketing for the Chicago Cubs, Jennifer Martindale, is with us to tell us about something happening on Sunday at Wrigley Field. And Jen, thank you for joining us tonight on WGN.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here with you for a few minutes to talk about this really important topic.
Well, kudos to the Cubs for just jumping in with both feet for Celiac Awareness Month. Now, the game is at 1:20 on Sunday afternoon. Tell us what is happening at Wrigley surrounding the whole business of celiac disease.
Yes. Well, as you mentioned, this is the month where we're trying to raise awareness of celiac disease. And so at tomorrow's game on May 3rd, it's our first official celiac awareness event. So we will be donating a portion of the proceeds for certain tickets sold tomorrow to the Celiac Disease Foundation. We'll also be really highlighting a lot of our new gluten-free food and drink offerings this
year.
And we even have a dedicated fryer now installed inside the ballpark.
Yay! Thank you.
Absolutely. So we're trying really hard to make sure that Wrigley Field is a welcoming environment for people who have celiac disease. We understand the challenges that having it poses when people are trying to go out to either eat or to be social. And so Wrigley feels happy about the strides that we're making to be more supportive, and we're going to use tomorrow's game to try to generate some awareness of this important topic.
Some of the most important research into the celiac disease is done right here in Chicago at the University of Chicago. Did they play a part in coming to the Cubs in presenting this idea, or how did this get off the ground? Because this is really, really big. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we always try to listen to our fans, and we have noticed an uptick in requests for fans for gluten-free offerings over the last few seasons, so that was certainly taken into account. And then we've gotten to know the Celiac Disease Foundation a little bit over the past year, and so building that relationship with them and them educating us really on this disease and how it affects people really, you know, it spoke to us, and we felt like this was the season to take it a little bit further and really, again, try to draw some attention to it. So, so we're very excited. We're going to be having some special, you know, chicken tenders, hot dogs, french fries, nachos, and all that are prepared in a gluten-free way with a special dedicated fryer. We have our concessions guide updated on the Cubs website as well as the MLB ballpark app so that people know where they can, you know, find the right menu offerings if they're trying to avoid gluten. So looking forward to it.
I want to hold you on the in the business of dedicated fryer because you mentioned that and we just perked up because that's one of the things you have to be very cautious about.
It is so important.
And I just want to explain to people who don't understand why that is very important. But for example, if you were to use the fryer to fry chicken tenders that are not gluten-free and then you put french fries in that, then those french fries become contaminated with gluten. And I know that's like a real big scary word, but that's the reality of what happens. And then if a person with celiac disease or with a wheat allergy were to eat those fries, then they become very ill. And then the game is no fun anymore. I mean, it's just like everything stinks at that point.
And I'll get a little bit into the weeds here just for a second. There are some people who have allergies. There are some people who have intolerances. I'm one of the ones who has an absolute intolerance. Just hypothetically, if Johnny were to kiss someone and that person had eaten something that had gluten and she got it on her lips, if I kissed Johnny, I would be, it's like rat poison. I would be sick as a dog for more days than I want to think about.
I have a lot of power in that respect. If you think about it, you better be good or else. Well, again, for families who are excited about this because they can bring their kids to the game and now they're not just saying, well, all you can have is popcorn or maybe you can have some nacho chips. Now you can be like the other kids and have your chicken tenders and your fries and even a hot dog. When they get to the park, is there going to be signage or directions, or should they look that up on their phone so that they can be prepared when they get to Wrigley?
That's a great question. The best advice is for people to either go onto their computer or onto their phone. They can go to Cubs.com or they can go onto the MLB ballpark app, which is where their tickets are, and look at the concessions guide. And that's going to tell people exactly where in the ballpark to go to find these gluten-free menu items, including those made from the dedicated fryer.
Jennifer, are you very good at math?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm willing to try if we're going to do math now.
Okay. I'm going to throw something out, and maybe one of our listeners can answer this. What is the capacity for Wrigley Field? It's roughly, if you know what the...
You want me to answer?
Yeah.
We hold about 40,000 people. Ooh.
Okay, 40,000 people. One out of every 100 persons have celiac disease. So out of that 40,000...
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people in your ballpark...
Yeah.
No pun intended, that have celiac disease.
And they may not know it, but that's the reality. And again, you said early that there's a portion of some of the ticket sales that will be going to research, which is another element of this, which is really huge.
Absolutely. If people haven't gotten their ticket for Sunday's game yet, if they go to cubs.com/specials, they will see that there is a special celiac awareness ticket that they can purchase. And if they do purchase this, a portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Celiac Disease Foundation, which is fighting to find a cure and increase the rate of diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. And just to give folks a real peace of mind, are the people who are going to be working these counters where the gluten-free food is available, have they been trained? Are they wearing gloves? Can you give us any insight into that?
Absolutely. Our entire concession staff has been trained on the importance of this program. And when we introduce the new items as well as the dedicated fryer, we have staff who are trained to understand that. So I think we really want to make sure all of our friends who come to the ballpark tomorrow who are afflicted with this condition have a wonderful experience, and we've worked hard to prepare for them.
Well, we cannot thank you enough. I mean, this is really personal.
This is a big deal. thank you. Do you know, are there other ball teams that are going to embrace this too?
You know, we've talked to a couple of our friends around the country, and this is, again, people are responding to the feedback from their fans, and there are others who are starting to host these celiac awareness events as well because the fans are asking for it. To your point, if hundreds, if not thousands of people who walk into Wrigley Field every day are afflicted with this knowingly or unknowingly, those fans want to have a great experience when they come out to a sporting event, and they're letting their teams know. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely not the only one.
So after tomorrow, and tomorrow is the big day when this is going to be launched, it's Celiac Awareness mm-hmm. Day, that dedicated fryer, will it then go back to being just a regular old fryer, or will there always be a place at Wrigley where people can get something that is safe and gluten-free?
It's absolutely that, Johnny. So we have added permanent, you know, gluten-free menu items, and we now have that dedicated fryer that is bolted into the ballpark, so it will be there.
Awesome.
It will be there beyond tomorrow.
That is such great news. Well, thank you very much for your time tonight, Jen. And again, thanks to the Cubs and for launching this, because I have to believe it's going to be wildly popular, and it's just going to make this so much more not only accessible, but easy to explain to people. And like, oh, you're going to be difficult if we go to a game together. You're going to be looking for something you can eat and rolling your eyes. And no, this is going to be really, really cool. So, Jen, thank you so much. And to the powers that be, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We hope to see you at Wrigley Field soon.
Well, have a good time. Tomorrow the game is at 1:20, and it's Cubs versus the Diamondbacks, and it's Celiac Awareness Day at Wrigley Field tomorrow. Thank you, Jen Martindale.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Our producer du jour, Jeff, brought in some interesting stuff. The top Major League Baseball stadiums for gluten-free and celiac-safe food, along with Wrigley Field. Citi Field, which is the New York Mets, they feature a dedicated gluten-free stand, Section 105, with hot dogs, burgers, chicken tenders, and Glutenberg beer. I've never heard of that. Coors Field, Colorado Rockies, known for a dedicated gluten-free concession stand serving hot dogs, pretzels, and beer. Yankee Stadium offers gluten-free hot dogs and snacks. Sox Park, Wright Field. We're going to have to try this out. A Beggar's Pizza pub stand with safe gluten-free pizza and gluten-free hot dog buns. That's cool.
Yeah, a bun is an important thing. A good bun that doesn't fall apart in your hand.
Nationals Park, the Washington Nationals, offers dedicated gluten-free hot dogs. It's Arepa Zone, Section 147, and other options. Oracle Park, San Francisco Giants, features dedicated gluten-free options, including snacks and meals. Comerica Park for the Detroit Tigers, gluten-free chicken fingers and fries cooked in a dedicated fryer at the beer hall.
Nice.
And as you said, that is a gluten-free, a dedicated fryer is so important.
Yeah, because you can go to a restaurant and they say, well, yeah, we have fries. Aren't fries safe? And you say, yes, but do you have a dedicated fryer? And they go, well, we put our shrimp in there, or we put our chicken tenders in. Okay, then.
For a while, we thought that McDonald's was okay, but then that turn south.
I guess some of them are okay, but you have to be very careful, and management has to tell you if, in fact, something else has been put in that fryer. And so it's kind of like you're just fingers crossed, hoping for the best.
But again, good for the Cubs for doing that. And that's going to be today's game against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
At 1:20.
And I have a feeling it's going to be big because, A, it's a Sunday. It is kicking off the month where we're trying to raise awareness. And some of the ticket price goes to research, which is really
that's
big.
Huge.
Yeah. So hopefully a whole bunch of people will show up there.
Yeah. So, and a little later tonight, Johnny will be sharing one of her gluten-free recipes. And over the next, because May has five Saturdays.
Yes.
So over the next five Saturdays, you're going to be sharing a different gluten-free recipe each week.
And you don't have to worry about jotting it down because we will tell you where to find it on our blog, and link to it from our Facebook page. And but Jeff, as we are calling him, our producer du jour, even though he's going to be a producer for a couple of times in the month of May, you were telling us off the air your household is also gluten-free, right?
Yeah, my wife, unfortunately, is intolerant. I mean, she does not celiac, but she can't. She gets the inflammation. She gets everything. I mean, her face breaks out. It's a mess. And so we are always looking for great places. And we live up in Edgewater, and so Lady Gregory's is one of our favorites because they have a great dedicated menu.
Yeah.
Well, we just found out about a place when we were coming back from the Grand Canyon and we were in the Las Vegas airport.
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Great burgers and gluten-free burgers. Oh, boy, is it
They
good.
Should become a sponsor of the show because we've given them many a shout-out now because it truly was the best hamburger I've ever had in a public place.
Right.
I mean, the best, hands down. It was the best bun because, Jeff, you know, as I said, I wasn't being silly when I said bread is so important, and if it's just a hunk of dough that just crumbles in your hand, it's just
turns to sand.
It's depressing. Yeah. Yes, especially when you pay almost $10 for a loaf of bread. $10, $9.99. Yikes!
I'm lucky enough. I know a friend who has a gluten-free bakery, and she sells product. And they worked on a baguette. I had no joke for 6 months to get it right, and they nailed it. I mean, I give it to people. I tell them to get it, and they take a piece. And
give her a shout out. Give her the bakery.
Deflowered. It's a gluten-free
deflowered.
Andersonville.
Yeah,
Joanna Vandorf. She's incredible, and it's such a fun thing to see people because I do a lot of deliveries for her when she runs these days, and going up to somebody's house with a birthday cake that they know that they're going to give to somebody who hasn't had a birthday cake and that was amazing in years, or I bring them a baguette and they're just so over the moon. And I love that part of the joke.
I know.
We used to see that reaction in a restaurant that sadly no longer exists. It used to be our favorite Italian restaurant, De Luciano's. Mm-hmm. It was in River Grove. And to see the look on the faces of little kids who would come in to get a gluten-free pizza.
Yeah.
And they could feel safe about it. In fact, De Luciano's really went out of their way. When they started, they only had a small portion that was the restaurant. Then the restaurant next to them moved. They bought that. They then created two separate kitchens, one that was a dedicated gluten-free kitchen. So there was no chance of cross-contamination, and it was wonderful.
That's the dream.
Why are we talking about food in the first hour of the show? We only have until 2 o'clock to last. Usually that's a 1 o'clock thing for us. But again, it's a completely different world than it was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so fortunate to live in a time that we do where, sadly, this can be a fad for some people, so it makes going to restaurants sometimes kind of challenging, because if you're just doing it because it's just a passing fancy and you have a cook, a chef, a restaurant to go above and beyond for you so that you don't end up sick, and then you decide that, you're
going to have the chocolate cake.
Yeah, your dining companion has chocolate cake, and boy, that looks good. I think they'll have that too.
Yeah.
Well, that makes them very angry in the back because they've worked really hard to make you a safe meal.
But you talk about how things have changed. So we've told the story before, so I'll make it brief. When I was first diagnosed back in 2001, Johnny and I went to, it was a Whole Foods, and we're looking around. They were the only place that had gluten-free bread. Well, I should have had a clue when the bread had an end date that was a year later. It was frozen bread. We got it home. We heated it up.
Was it even frozen? I think it was vacuum-packed. That's what had concerned us.
It may have
us.
Been vacuum-packed.
Yeah.
But either way, we got it up. It was like a brick. We couldn't. We threw it out. The birds wouldn't even have it.
It was horrible. It was January, and we cleaned off part of the patio and put it out there, and then looked at it and went, oh, no, yeah, I need
us.
That.
No, mm-hmm. Mostly yoga mat, I assume.
Yes.
By the way, I'm going to ask you for an audible. What time do we need to shut up for the end spots?
I'm looking at my about 20 till. So are you 20 till the top. There's...
At 20 seconds.
Oh, seconds till the top.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
So 59:40.
Exactly.
So a listener just said, I just had delicious steak tacos just in time for your food, Jones. Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, steak tacos with a little guacamole on it and some salsa. I have crackers. I bought crackers.
How many more hours do we have to go?
I know. We only have 4 more hours. We'll do our shout-outs sometime over the next hour or so. Karen checks in. She's Karen Zaluzik, and she says that she's listening from Bolingbrook, getting ready to leave for London with Steve and Sharon Bertrand and a bunch of GM listeners. Yeah, congratulations, Karen. That's going to be a great time, and it's going to be a theater trip. Even better. Yeah. Yeah, we once had special theater tickets in London.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks to Roy Leonard, we had tickets that we purchased, but thanks to his clout, we bought tickets in the same row that royalty would be sitting in. Yep, and we had to give those tickets up because of an accident in London, so we could not go to the theater. And when I mentioned to the staff at the hospital that we'd given up the tickets, I thought they were probably going to kill you.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the next step.
You give up those tickets?
What? We can't get tickets, and you had tickets in that row? What?
And it was to see Phantom of the Opera.
I was stressed. I wasn't thinking clearly. I could have sold those on the street corner, you know.
Okay, we got to take a break. After the news, we're going to talk about the 30th anniversary for the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of the acts they've got coming up. And a whole lot more to come, so stay with us. But the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I can't believe that it has been 20 years since we first met Jake Shimabukuro and had him in the studio. And I remember that was the song that was like a viral hit at that point. He had recorded a version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
On his ukulele.
Yes.
Remember, that's when we learned that it's not ukulele, it's ukulele. So why are we mentioning Jake?
Because Jake is coming back to the Chicago area to one of our favorite places, the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
And that takes us to our guest in this segment of the show, Merrill Mitchell. Listen, see, there's a guy named Merrill Mitchell. You know that, don't you, Merrill?
No, I didn't know.
He's a musician.
Similar name to me.
Yeah, Eminem is here with us. Merrill, you're born and raised in this area, right? North Shore?
Yeah, Morton Grove, essentially Skokie.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And so now Merrill Miller is with the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts as a manager of concerts. And Jake is going to be there this coming week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tuesday night. I think this is his 7th or 8th time there.
Yeah.
So he's a regular, and we love having him.
Have you seen him perform?
Yeah, this is third time since I've been there that he'll be there.
Wow.
Have you ever seen, you need to see, two of our absolute favorite performers, Jake and Tommy Emmanuel. Are you familiar with Tommy Emmanuel?
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the list to bring there.
So
anyone listening has a connection.
Tommy is a dear friend. We would love to get him in there. I mean, he's...
Yeah, great venue. Well, let's talk a little bit about you, though, Merrill, because you are now... This has to be a dream job for you, right? Didn't you go to school for music? Mm-hmm. You went to college for music?
Yeah, so I went to Coe College in Cedar Rapids, and I originally wanted to be a music composition major, music composer, something like that.
But are you a musician?
And yeah, I play. I play guitar.
Oh,
whatnot.
Okay.
But
not to be confused with the other guy, Merrill
right,
Mitchell.
Right. But throughout my time there, I started working on our like activities committee and booking shows, and realized at some point like this is a career, and so tried to figure that out over the years, and moved to Nashville and tried to figure it out, and turned out it was right where I started, I guess.
Huh.
So
right in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a dream job then, because the what I've always loved about North Shore is the variety. You can get comedy, you can get alternative music, you can get like a Jake Shimabukuro, kind of the classic something for everyone, right?
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This year's our 30th anniversary of the building existing.
That blew me away. 30 years. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, so my goal is to both have artists from, you know, when the building opened, we had Michael Feinstein last week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I believe he was there a second time, but the records aren't super clear on that. But he was one of the very first artists to ever perform there.
I think that's where we saw him when he was first there.
Yeah.
And then coming up in September, we have Don McLean, first time back in 27 years.
Right.
So a little bit of that. And then also looking to the future, we have Reed Timmer, who's a storm chaser. Something that, you know, people weren't thinking about booking 30 years ago.
Oh,
and so he'll talk about his experience chasing tornadoes.
Wait. So you're going to have a concert with a guy talking about chasing storms?
Well, I guess it's not a band.
Do you interview the clouds, or what is that? How does that work?
He shows videos of him in the field and like...
When's that going to be?
Like, October 1st.
I love that idea.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
wow.
So he talks about his experience with that, and we've kind of done this speaker series, so to speak, for a while. We have Stuart Copeland from The Police this July, and he's just talking. He's not.
Oh, he's got stories.
Get out.
He has a lot of stories. Yeah.
Very cool.
Whatever you have to do to make this continue on, I love that concept because it's such a great venue for listening and sight lines and such, and it's comfortable too in there.
The sound is wonderful.
Yeah,
it is, and all the seats are really comfy.
Yeah,
I think the last time we were there was for Pizzarelli.
Yes,
John Pizzarelli.
And that was just extraordinary.
And that's one man with one guitar, and you could hear every note just without any distortion, you know, without straining, which was really huge when it's one man and one guitar.
Right.
Right.
And some artists will do a song with no amplification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like to do that sometimes, and it sounds really nice even without that. I mean, the audience gets a little loud, so then you can't hear them. But
wow. So my recollection, and I suspect you're too young to know what was there where North Shore is, but I recall there being some kind of an amusement park that was
before my time.
But it was, right?
Yeah, we did a lot of research. We were doing some displays in the lobby about the history. So right now it's about Northlight and Music Theater Works and that type of thing. But throughout the year, we're going to talk about it was called Fun Fairs there from the, I believe, maybe late 40s to the mid 60s.
Into the 60s, mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have some blueprints of like the little train that was at the amusement park from the Skokie Historical Society, things like that we'll display throughout the year.
So that was in the same location on Skokie Boulevard where the Performing Arts Center is?
For the most part. There's some of it.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, some of it was going to be used for more rides at some point. So most of the amusement park, I believe, was where the hotel is.
Ah.
But there were amusement park uses on the actual spot where the theater is too, and then eventually the hotel came and the two office towers and then the theater.
Well, I'm glad you filled in the blanks there, because I thought, am I dreaming that there was an amusement park there? Because we also had Kitty Land over on Lincoln Avenue,
right
on the edge of Lincolnwood. And my recollection is people said, well, Kitty Land has killed the park up in Skokie, you know? But the park had been there since the 40s, you say.
I believe.
Into the 60s.
Yeah, don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
I think 1946 sounds right, but that, someone can fact check.
I'm writing this down. I'm going to quote you.
And for people who are trying to get a fix on what the location is, right across the street and down the road a piece is the Old Orchard Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And very easily accessible from the Expressway.
So if you take the Edens up to Gulf Road, mm-hmm. get off, head east, then you run into the Old Orchard Shopping Center, and literally just sort of a kitty corner mm-hmm. from the Old Orchard Shopping Center, just southeast of the Old Orchard Shopping Center would be the North Shore Center for the Performing
With
Arts.
With parking and all that other good stuff there, right?
Right, yeah.
Yes. Well, Meryl is in the studio with us tonight talking as the manager of concerts. In my world, dream job. North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back with Meryl right after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Erica and Josh from the Empty Pockets. That's one of the songs they did when they were in the studio with us a couple weeks ago. And if you go to our blog, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. You will see that we have posted four terrific videos from that appearance. And we'll be linking that to our other social media sites. But the Empty Pockets, they started something a year ago, and they're going to be resurrecting it again at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in July. And Meryl, you want to explain what this is? This is such a cool thing to benefit Will's Place.
Yeah, so July 9th this year is the second concert for Will's Place. So Josh's brother, and he would explain this better mm-hmm. than I can, was born with a disability, and once you reach, I believe, 21, you can't get access to, like, disability benefits, as mm-hmm. far as I know, through the government. And so his family wanted to figure out, like, how are you employed? How can you live a normal life?
That he wanted to be productive.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they founded Will's Place, which is a cafe in Skokie. It's
a wonderful cafe in Skokie.
Yeah, great food. And they employ folks with disabilities to work there and learn about, you know, maybe what they want to do with their own creative ideas and that type of thing. And so last year, Josh and I kind of came up with this idea to raise money for it through this concert, and Al Stewart was one of the headliners with them. And then this year, we have a whole host of artists as well, and we're still going to announce a headliner at a later date.
Really?
TBD still.
Oh. Can you tease us with anybody who's going to be on the show?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I believe that the closest to a tease was when they were on the show with us. They said a major Chicago blues performer who was part of the show last year.
Mm-hmm. We do have announced, though, yeah, Lynn Jordan's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Chad the Bird, who is like what I've called Chicago's very own Muppet, if you've ever seen him perform.
No!
A handful of others.
Well, a listener from Indianapolis says, I have my tickets for Will's Place. The theater is ideal for that show. And there was a great turnout for that show last year.
Yeah, we were almost sold out.
Yeah.
It was a really great show.
So tickets are available now at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. And we, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about how easily accessible it is from the Edens Expressway.
Yeah.
That's not the golf exit, as a listener pointed out.
It's the Old Orchard.
Or Dempster over Skokie North or Old Orchard and come back. So if you're just driving city streets, you can take Gulf Road. It'll take you there as well. See, our listeners are on top of it, Meryl. 312-981-7200 if you want to give us some feedback. If you have suggestions for acts you'd like to see at a venue like that, you're open to suggestions, aren't you?
Yeah, we send, and it's mostly for folks coming to shows already, we send a survey out at mm-hmm. every month to recap the month for new ideas, feedback on shows, all sorts of questions like that. So,
I bet that's fun looking through that.
Yeah.
Is that how you came up with the idea of offering more speakers in that facility? Because, again, as I told you off the air, I just love that idea.
Yeah, we've gotten some suggestions for that. You know, sometimes you just have to read through and be like, okay, well, what's realistic? What's not realistic?
Yeah.
And filter all that out. But yeah, we've seen people ask for like, oh, get a speaker or something like mm-hmm. that. Or more of this type of band or these comedians or mm-hmm. this other thing or more dance, which we're trying to do a little bit of.
Really?
So, yeah.
Huh. So working on booking the shows, once you've booked it, what does your job entail? Do you have to be at all the shows?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
For the most part, yeah. There are some, you know.
It's kind of a cool perk.
I think so. I mean, I'm not always watching every show. I'm oftentimes at my desk doing math to figure out, you know, what our expenses are and, you know, mm-hmm. that type of fun stuff. But, you know, I do try to watch as a little bit of each show if I can, even mm-hmm. if it's just 5 minutes to know how the act is going, or, you know, if an artist has a favorite song, you know, like we had Bodine's in January, I was mm-hmm. like, well, they're going to play this song at the end that I like, so I'm going to go in at the end and listen.
Didn't you just have Joanne Shaw Taylor there, too?
Mm, yeah. Oh,
we had awesome. Joanne on the show when nobody knew who the heck she was.
Yeah.
And, in fact, if you do a YouTube search for Joanne Shaw Taylor, WGN, and you'll see. And she came in just with her Telecaster.
All by herself.
And just blew us away. She's so good.
Yeah. I hope there was a good turnout for her. Mm.
Yeah, there was.
Good, good. Yeah. Because we were talking off the air, too, about the fact that the reality is we're very fortunate in Chicago. We have a lot of places where we can go see live music, but that also means competition. You're trying to get an act in when other venues are also trying to get these acts in. So seating capacity at North Shore is what?
867 in the big theater.
Really?
And then in our small room, up to 363. So the other thing we're doing this year, since Northlight's leaving, that's all the rage, and people are like, oh, are they closing? Where are they going? What's happening? And North Shore Center's not going anywhere. But I'm putting some bands and hopefully some comedians. I haven't really gotten much traction on comedy in that room yet. Into that room and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds really great when Music Theater Works does their musicals in there with live music. So I was like, well, why don't we try a band, or a handful of bands, and mm-hmm. see how it sounds? And so there'll probably be some tweaks that'll have to be made over time. But
and that's in the smaller theater, the Northlight Theater.
That's new for this year.
Mm-hmm. Where is Northlight going?
They built their own building in Evanston.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, speaking of building things, you have a neat-looking website that was just recently launched, right?
Right, yeah. About 2 weeks ago, we launched this new website. It's much faster, I think much easier to use. My marketing person, Sophie, did a lot of the actual like web pages and made it look nice, and mm-hmm. I did some of the like technical design, so to speak, and worked with the website company that we use to put it all together. And now it's here and represents the 30th anniversary with a lot of new photos, a lot of new history that wasn't available online before, and just kind of expanding all that for easier use and access.
Well, I was also saying that it looks like it would be easier to purchase your tickets, too, if you want to do that through the website, but you're also on Ticketmaster.
Yeah, so if you go to the website, it'll automatically link to Ticketmaster, which mm-hmm. is our automatic or official ticket platform online. And then any ticket bought on there, even if it's considered a resale ticket, is official, and so you don't have to worry about any issues with any third parties. If mm-hmm. it's on Ticketmaster, you're good to get in.
Some text coming in asking, speaking of tickets, can you buy tickets at the location?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Typically, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays. Come to the box office. You can get tickets right there. No additional fees or anything
That's
like
good.
That.
That's good, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, just stop by and you save a couple bucks by just picking them up in person. I just clicked on events coming up. I'm not familiar with the Angel Next Door, and there are a number of nights when the Angel Next Door. What is the Angel Next Door?
So I don't know too much about the show because that's Northlight's show.
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't work on their shows very much, but that is their very last production at the theater. So they'll be closing that next Sunday, uh-huh. and then they'll move on to their new home.
Hmm. So the dance that we're seeing listed, Sons of Seeger, so good. Mm-hmm. They're coming in June. I'm just scrolling. That's how I came on. Oh, all right. Again, I'm loving your job because I'm thinking you're open to the North Shore is not saying we're a blues club. We're not just a comedy club. We're just kind of out there and wide open, and that's really exciting.
It's a great location, great acoustics, and with either a small theater or a large theater. And I notice, too, you can rent the center, too.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of groups rent from us. A lot of the dance shows coming up in May are rented, and so they get to kind of have their own artistic vision of things when they're in there.
Hmm.
So it's a little of both. You can come in and do your thing. If you have an artist that you're promoting throughout the country or even just locally, you know, you can rent the center and do that. But then on my end of it is when I go and get the kind of national touring
acts. Look for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We closed the door, locked it. So can you stay for a few more minutes, Merrill?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
we're talking with Merrill Miller, and he is in charge of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts up in Skokie. And we will be right back after this news update on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A lot of people are saying, well, who, that's not Buddy Holly. Who is it? That's Don McLean.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always plays American Pie or Vincent or And I Love You So. And I wanted to play something a little different. And Don McLean, who is going to be at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in the next few weeks.
In September.
He
in
is September. A he's a Buddy Holly fan, mm-hmm. and that was actually a hit for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, September is weeks.
Yes, it is weeks.
Merrill Miller is with us. He's the manager of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. The North Shore is celebrating its 30th year in existence. And people have some questions about going to a concert at North Shore. And we said, go to the website because there's so much information there at northshorecenter.org,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
.org. Listener wants to know, is there a place to eat around there? Oh, boy, are there places
yeah.
to eat, right, Merrill?
Yeah, there's plenty of places. Old Orchard has tons of food.
Yeah. By the way, if Shake Shack is listening, because we're trying to get them as a sponsor, there's a Shake Shack there, too.
Yeah,
there is, yeah. Yeah.
But there was a restaurant there in the hotel.
Yeah, Jameson's.
Jameson's, yeah.
So that is
yeah, we've been to Jameson's.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can park and walk there and then mm-hmm. go turn around the corner and go right into the theater door, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
So one of the other things that Merrill is doing, aside from this dream job that I keep talking about, because I know it's a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours, a lot of decisions have to be made. But for a guy who wanted to be in the music industry, this is just an awesome opportunity, especially in your own hometown, to be able to do this. As you said, you went to Nashville and realized you could come back here and do this and got the gig. But you've also taken on another gig working with the wonderful Empty Pockets. So what...
How did that
yeah.
come about? Because we've been... As you know, fans of theirs for years. How did you first get introduced to them? How did this happen?
So in like, I don't know, it's got to be fifth grade or something, they did a video at my middle school. And I remember this band, Josh and the Empty Pockets. And I was like, who's that?
You're
and
kidding.
Yeah. I think this was even before Erica was in the band.
Like yeah.
That long ago. And I don't think I actually stayed for the music video. Maybe I did, maybe I did. It was after school time, so, you know, maybe I went home. But that always, like, stuck with me for some reason.
Really?
And then we were planning our kind of music festival that we trialed a couple years ago, and I was booking the show, and I was like, who could be a good local opener who's, like, very Skokie? You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not technically a Skokie band, but I kind of mm-hmm. consider them that, and... That was who popped into my head, was like, oh, this is who should open this up.
And we were at that festival, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just over the years, Josh and I would chat, Eric and I would chat. I'd have them on a few different other things, opening or just see them at other gigs here and there. And eventually Josh was like, hey, do you want to manage us? And I was like, I've never managed a band before. And so we chatted about it, and I was like, I think this is a really great opportunity to learn the other side. Because doing the booking and all that is one thing, but then understanding like what the artist goes through when I send a show offer, or mm-hmm. when they are on the road, or any number of other things that they do that I wouldn't do as a venue, mm-hmm. I think is really great to know, and I think that just makes me more well-rounded.
Interesting. Huh. So you're going to be working with them to kind of push them into some other like festivals and fairs and things like that, because they've been, as we've talked, they've been incredibly busy working with Al Stewart for 10 years, and now he's retired.
Does the reality of today's music industry make it more interesting for you to do this? And here's where I'm going with this. Years ago, it would have been, okay, the Empty Pockets, yeah, they're signed to Columbia or Capitol or something, and you have to work with their record company to blah, 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 blah. Today's music industry, more acts like the Empty Pockets are controlling their recorded output and everything else. So does that make it easier for you to say, okay, here's how we are going to present this whole package?
Yeah, I think it's cool that so many bands can be successful independently. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. You know, there's a lot of trials and tribulations out there that all these artists are going through, even, you know, from artists playing really big places regularly to artists who are just starting out or starting to gain traction. But you couldn't really do it independently back in the kind of mm-hmm. so-called label days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's interesting that we don't have to be like bossed around by someone.
Answer to anyone,
yeah. except for ourselves and our own team to figure out what the next steps are to go past, you know, Al Stewart as mm-hmm. far as mm-hmm. being his backing band now that he's retired. And so what is next? Is it doing festivals? Is it doing more YouTube? Is it doing more Instagram, like those types of things?
Mm-hmm. Does it mean that you have to be more social media savvy to get the word out for them? And I'll go back to Taylor Swift built her career on social media, one post at a time. And social media really now is the communications venue of choice for most artists these days. So does that put more pressure on you to learn how to navigate the social media world for them?
I think to some extent, Josh is really, really good at all the social media stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to have someone who already really gets that. I think as I'm still learning kind of where I fit in, mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of the glue that like helps all this stuff function smoothly is kind of what I'm getting.
But you know what also that you are that is very important? If Josh, Erica, whoever, if they want to say no, but they don't want to have to offend somebody, you're going to have to talk to our manager about that. Right. So you now become
the go-to guy.
You're the gatekeeper.
Yeah, and a lot of that is true. Yeah, I haven't done too much of that yet because I'm still getting mm-hmm. on board.
Well, you're so new. I mean, this literally just happened when you signed on with them mm-hmm. and long enough for you to be in the picture. I noticed that there you were in the middle of the Empty Pockets in one of their latest pictures that they posted.
Yeah, we did a little photo shoot.
Yeah.
I got a new headshot because I hadn't had one in like probably 7 years.
A listener named Linda says, looking at your website, I'm excited about all of the acts you have coming in. Any chance you're going to get any country music represented at North Shore?
We do some country. I know people have asked, and historically country has been tricky to just get enough people in the door.
Why tricky?
I don't think the North Shore area has been like accustomed to that. And now mm-hmm. living in Nashville, I've been seeing all sorts of country music. So I know a lot, and a lot of agents are like, well, bring this artist. And I think the country artists that do play there that will be successful are the ones that don't primarily have country music fans. I think country music
fans. Alternative country artists.
Yeah, like the last country artist we had was Marty Stewart, and that was a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could definitely tell there are a lot of country fans there, but there are a lot of people who just like other types of music, like Roger McGuinn, who's been there a couple times, other contemporaries of Marty Stewart's who have performed there, and it all kind of like filters together as getting the right audience in the door. So that's something to build over the next few years and figuring out, like, who's the right fit in that genre. And I kind of lean towards the Americana side of it.
Yeah, I do,
and
too.
And that kind of fits in, I think, more with the vibe up there.
Are there ever times when you're standing backstage, and I'll use Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives as an example, and you're watching and you just say, I can't believe how cool they are. Because and to me, that's an example. They are such a cool group.
Yeah.
So talented.
Yeah, they were great. I think probably that moment was Lindsey Buckingham in 2022 when he was there. And kind of like, I can't believe this is really happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a newsletter people can sign up for? Because a listener said, how would I get notices about acts so I can get good seats?
Yeah, so Facebook and Instagram obviously are kind of biggest social media outlets that we go on. We do have a newsletter through email, and you can sign up for that on our website. And we're still doing some troubleshooting on our website, but I believe that is fixed now. So if you go on the homepage and scroll down a little bit, there should be a button, say, join our newsletter, and then put your email in, and you can select a few different genres. It's or like comedy or different things if you want more specific stuff as we roll that out. Those are the ways to stay in touch.
All right.
Are you going to be doing any subscription plans? Like, okay, for this season, you pay blah, 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 and you get tickets to...
4 shows.
Yeah.
Not for the shows I do. We've talked about, say, a membership program or something like that, but we haven't found the right mix to make that work. Some Chicago area venues with just music do have similar things, but we haven't really found the right way to get that done. Music Theater Works is going to continue their subscription, as always. And the resident companies I can't speak to as much, but they will, and then Music of the Broke, they also have their own subscription series as well for their shows. But ours are currently just single tickets.
Okay, listener says, can I get tickets for the concert for Will's Place? Yep. Are those available? So that's a July show. July 9th.
July 9th.
So tickets are on sale. And I've done this before, but for the benefit of the audience, when they click on your website, are they looking at the seating plan so that they can choose seats, or how does that work?
When they click on the website, it'll take them to a description of the show, who's performing, date and time, and then when they click buy tickets, it'll go to Ticketmaster, which is our official ticketing partner, and then they will be able to select their seats there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, go to northshorecenter.org. And is there a place where people can give you feedback, where they can write notes? Is that you prefer that on Facebook, or do you have a place on the website where people can ask questions? Or because you have an FAQ that basically answers every question that I can imagine anybody would have. But if they want to give you suggestions or feedback, how would you like them to do that?
I think the easiest thing, because I see all these messages, is through Facebook, actually. You can message us right on our Facebook page, and we'll get a message and try to respond as quick as we can. But then if you do attend a show, every month we send a survey after all those shows have been done. And then there's all sorts of feedback in there as well.
So that's another job you get to do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To go all of those feedback surveys.
I create the survey every year and then use the same survey for the whole year.
Just do
so
you?
It's consistent, and then read through everything at the end of the year.
So when you were at Co. In Iowa, going to college, did you take classes in all of this, like marketing and...
Yeah, I took a handful of business classes. I think some were even like over the summer here at like Oakton Community College to just get more credits. And then I took one or two semesters of marketing, and then really just booking shows for our student activities committee. And sometimes I like to joke that that was my major. It wasn't music. It was really that, because I was doing, we were doing two or three shows or events a week. So it was,
wow.
Sometimes it was, you know, Wednesday night was like our singer-songwriter night, and Saturday was our comedy night. But then other times it'd be, we're going to the minor league baseball game tonight, and we got a bunch of tickets for the students, or we're doing a movie night, or so it'd be a mixture of both the concert side, but also just planning events for the campus to come out and do something fun.
But we have to take a quick break. Can you hang with us for a few more seconds?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll take a break and be back on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. A few more minutes with Merrill Miller. He is the manager of concerts at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. And text from his 708 area code wants to know if they come to the North Shore Center, are they allowed to take pictures during shows?
Oh, good question.
Depends on the show. Some artists love it and want you to take all the pictures and videos possible. Some don't want that. So it just depends on who's on stage.
And is that stated when you get to the theater? It says no cameras allowed? Or
yeah, usually outside the doors, if they're really strict about it, we make sure we put signs up. Sometimes it'll just be a recorded or spoken statement before the show starts to just say, hey, no pictures tonight or no videos. Sometimes it also depends too. Pictures are okay, but they don't want videos. Yeah. So, you know, just.
Well, we've talked to performers before that said, you know, they get back to their hotel and there's their performance online.
Yeah.
You know, somebody had videoed the whole performance and they're like, wow.
But we had a real interesting conversation with Tommy Emmanuel about that. Initially, he didn't like the idea of people doing videos. He wanted people to just sit, enjoy the concert. He changed his mind when he was booked over in Russia, wasn't it? And he was amazed to find out that within a week it sold out. And he said, why did it sell out? Because they'd seen videos of his shows. So now he's kind of embraced the idea of, okay, if you have to, I'd kind of like you to enjoy the show, but if you have to do a video, okay, because he didn't spend any money for that promotion, and it helped him to sell out in countries over in Europe and beyond.
Yeah, I think I found that the musicians are pretty open to photos and videos. You know, I think a lot of people want to hear how and see how they sound on stage, and I think that helps move tickets.
Yeah,
a lot of the comedians don't want to spoil their act since it's the same every night.
Yeah,
and it's not like listening to music where you could go to the same artist three nights in a row and still enjoy the show. Where if you see a comedian three nights in a row and it's the same thing, you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Are comedy shows, how do I want to phrase that, are they hard to navigate? And where I'm going with this, we have a friend of ours in Florida who has spent, what, the last 10 years building up a whole comedy troupe and a comedy stable of performers that he presents at different venues around the panhandle. And now it's very successful, but it was a struggle getting it going. And in part because some comedians are very blue, some comedians are family show. His idea is mostly family shows, but he says he kind of has to navigate that too.
Do you make a decision? Like, do you if somebody contacts you and says, "Well, I'd like to get my act into North Shore," then do you have to do a deep dive into, well, what are they all about? Is this appropriate for our facility?
What do you have to do to vet them?
Yeah,
I usually look to make sure, you know, there's no controversies online. We've definitely run into a few artists who, and I won't say anyone specific, but have had recent news stories that were like, well, let's not have this person.
We don't want
here.
Protesters outside.
Yeah. But as far as, like, you know, if the language of the show is rated R,
yeah,
people generally who are coming to the show know who they're coming to see, and they expect that type of thing from that person.
Well, again, I think it's a cool job. I know it requires a lot of work. And here I'm saying, I want this job. But I'm thinking, no, second thought. The more you talk, no. keep this job and enjoy it, because again, you're like a fly on the wall when these people come out. Once you get them there and they're performing and they're happy and they enjoy the facility, and I'm sure there are people that come there to perform and they're a little bit surprised at the facility they're going to be performing in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people maybe don't know what to expect when they get there.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, this is such a great venue. And a lot of it that I do when I go to conferences and then talk to the artist or the artist team is just try to get the word out to be like, this is a great place to play, and you don't have to worry about your bus parked on the street four blocks away or something
that.
You know, makes it easy for them to just get in the building, go to the hotel next door, food's right there. It's really easy.
And that bus thing for a lot of performers, that's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the city venues, you can park the bus right there, but if you have a lot of buses, sometimes they're, blocks away, and then waiting around for them to come back or, you know, what have you.
Hmm. Or hopefully if you park, you don't want to end up coming back and having everything missing in that bus or van or whatever, because that's happened many times too. Well, again, congratulations. You've got a couple gigs going on. You're wearing a couple hats, one with the Empty Pockets and also your full-time gig with the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. And it's their 30th anniversary. And when people come to the theater, they're going to see some of the history there in the lobby. And they can check out the website at northshorecenter.org. And there's an FAQ there. Everything you need to know, because we've got 17 states that have checked in tonight.
Yep.
So if you're coming to Chicago and you find that there's somebody or something that you want to see at North Shore, you can get all of your questions answered at the website.
Oh, we didn't mention this, but from personal experience, the seats are really comfortable.
They are comfortable.
They really are.
Good. Merrill, thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Nice to meet you. And again, Merrill is in charge of concerts, so if you got some idea and you want to pass it along to him, do that. Go to the Facebook page and give him some feedback.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A little later, we'll be posting the video of Jeff on the other side of the glass as he was doing the wave and kind of bopping back and forth to that version of Shout. And yes, that means it is time for some shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start with some of the people who have been nice enough to check out our blog. And we would like you to check out our blog. And if you haven't, the location is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would subscribe. There is no fee. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we have a new post. And many times you see things before other people see them.
Yes.
For example, the Empty Pockets videos that we talked about, they were unveiled on our blog yesterday, and they will be making their way to other social media sites today and over the weekend. But the people who subscribe to our blog saw it first.
They did, yes.
They did.
And let's stick on the subject of the music videos, because when you listen to our podcast, you cannot hear music. The rules are, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music or whomever, they go, no, you can't play music.
So again, to clarify that has to do with, because there are so many, think of the number of platforms that you can get your podcasts for. Each of those platforms has different music restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest thing to do to avoid all of those conflicts is say, okay, the music is taken out of the podcast. So on our show, anytime we have a musical performer in the studio, Julian comes in. He's our official videographer. He does the videos, and as the videos are edited, they will make their way to our YouTube page and to our blog.
Right.
That's where you will see and hear the videos of any music that we have on our show.
So you can hear the conversation about the music, which is also very interesting. I thoroughly enjoyed going back and listening to the Empty Pockets interview. I was here, but again, it was fun to hear it. And then you can click over to the music and actually see, and as opposed to just hearing, but see the music. So,
and that's another reason to subscribe to our blog.
Mm-hmm. So the people who have, did Vietnam check in?
Okay. So the countries, and again, I'm going to do this in the order that we have the most people, and this constantly amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
So just over the past week, the countries that have checked out our blog, the United States, Hong Kong, SAR, China is still second. That amazes me. Third is Singapore. Fourth is Germany. Fifth is Belgium. Sixth is Sweden. Seventh is Poland. Eighth is New Zealand.
What?
New Zealand.
Those are four new ones this year, this week.
Nine is the Netherlands.
Five.
And 10 is Italy.
Six.
So thank you for checking out our blog
for
people all over the world. We really appreciate it.
That is so wild.
And we're hearing from a lot of those people who are listening to us, because obviously on the interweb, you can kind of do that these days.
Yeah.
And we hear frequently from people, and it kind of freaks me out, but we hear people from people that listening in Germany or Sweden or whatever. And they're,
so Vietnam didn't come back this week.
Not this week.
But we got the Netherlands. Wow.
Netherlands, New Zealand.
Yeah, and New Zealand. That's really cool. Okay. We also have George in Augusta, Georgia, who's listening tonight, and he's one of our regulars. Sherry Hanrahan is back from Boston. Also tuned in tonight, Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights. Rob and Amy are in Whiting, Indiana. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Bill is listening in Hobart. JP in Peoria checking in to the 50,000-watt blowtorch. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Jim is in Koshkonong Township, Wisconsin. Jim,
and he provided a pronunciation, too.
It still doesn't mean I'm going to pronounce it correctly, but Jim, nice to have you along. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. JW and Dolly Mink have tuned in from Chesapeake, Virginia. And also tonight, I'm just scrolling. I didn't realize there were that many people up above there as I scroll. Miriam's in Seneca, Illinois. One of our listeners says, I really like that picture that you have of the Wrigley Building with the red lights on top. And thank you, Jeff, for...
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, for informing us that, in fact, the red lights on our buildings, like the Wrigley Building, are to honor the fallen firefighters this week. And you'll see that picture on our Facebook page. That's our Drive to Work pictures. Also tonight, let's see.
By the way, I love Eric Baum's picture.
Oh, I didn't get to his picture yet.
He did this picture. It's of the marginal walkway that follows the ocean in Ogunquit, Maine. And it was taken a couple days ago when there was a small nor'easter off the coast. And you can see... Yeah, most things look kind of gray, but there's this yellow umbrella that is a contrast to all of the upheaval with the weather.
We say it every week, and we've said it for years now,
gorgeous.
That he should be supplying these pictures to the Board of Tourism because they're so good. Let's see. Hi there, Dave from Chicago. My friend Jim from the Council of the Blind has celiac disease. We were talking earlier about the fact that this is Celiac Awareness Month. This listener says he suffered for a couple of years, not knowing what it was until his diagnosis a few years ago. I like to ask Steve how many years he's had to deal with it.
Since I was diagnosed in 2001.
Right, so 25 years.
So literally a quarter of a century. And things have changed so much for the better over that quarter of a century.
Amen. Raina is in Pilsen. Penny Scaletta is in Frankfurt. Mick. This is Jim Petraga, who's a wonderful photographer. He has some great rock photos that he puts up. PJ's in Prairie Grove. Ken Vallett is checking in from Ann Arbor. Janet Regala is checking in from Pittsburgh tonight. Also, Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she checks in tonight from Northwest Indiana.
Peter with a nice graphic saying, hello, May.
Yes.
I can't believe it's May already. Do you believe?
Okay.
Jeff, do you believe that it's May already?
I'm still trying to get over March being gone. I don't know what happened.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. Peter Chuckabowitz is listening from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Oh, I just now saw, Eric Baum's picture is very...
Isn't that cool?
Powerful,
Click on it and...
Yeah, the yellow umbrella.
Full screen. That is just gorgeous.
Thank you, Eric. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Susie Mayor Schimmel is tuned in from Glen Allen. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Thank you, Brian, because then at least I know someone from Chicago's listening. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque. Maren Gold is checking in from Tinley Park. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Margaret McCaskillin is in Rochelle. Debbie Hardiman is in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Tom Murphy's in Lakeland, Florida. Nancy Witt in Milwaukee. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Penny Schick is in Tavares, Florida. I wonder if she was listening last week when that took us off on that tangent about the Tavares. Yes. Donna Youngheim is in Oak Lawn. Carolyn Eddings is listening from London Town, Chicago. Listening from London? Well, because we had a couple of listeners that are going on the Steve Bertrand trip tomorrow to London. Barb Larkin is in South Milwaukee. Chuck Snitchler is tuned in from Valpo with a picture of his great niece, Athena. She's absolutely adorable.
Great picture.
She's a happy little girl, too. Jim Eaton is in Waukegan. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis, Wisconsin. Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. Helen Thomas in Kenosha. Larry Mann in Miami, Florida. Roger Camp in Athens, Ohio. Lloyd Moncrief in Ottawa, Illinois. Our buddy Bobby Danos is out in Sandwich. Chuck Gorsuch is in West Burlington, Iowa. Rob Mecklen is tuned in. He and Amy are listening tonight. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. Carrie Hunt in Ruskin, Florida.
Did you notice that Janet said she was listening on her phone app in Gainesville, Florida, where the traffic has gone down thanks to the college students, 11,000 graduates. No, 11,000 graduates that have exited for the summer.
For the summer. Matt Palmer is tuned in. Peg McDonnell Adams is in Lafayette, Indiana. Scott Cooper is in listening from Washington, D.C., attending his son's master's degree graduation from Texas A&M University.
You mentioned Lafayette, Indiana, and you know where my mind goes?
Mm-mm.
Automatically. To all of the years that we drove from Chicago to Panama City Beach, and when you get into Lafayette, Indiana, there are speed traps. It's 55, then it's 45, then it's 35, then it's 55, then it's 65. That you really have to be careful going up and down those hills and around Lafayette, Indiana.
And how did we learn that? We were traveling with a CB radio.
Yep.
And that's how we first became aware of those traps. Jeffrey Welshunts is in Elkins, West Virginia. Joan Smith is tuned in from Holland, Michigan. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Todd Moe is in Egg Harbor, Wisconsin, one of our favorite places. Carrie Carlson is tuned in, and she sends a drink combo. Maybe this is for the Kentucky Derby. It looks pretty yummy. But if I didn't get to you tonight, I apologize. I promise if you'll show up next Saturday night, I will get to you.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll get to more on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is a rare live recording of Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, and Hound Dog. And playing lead guitar on that was Buddy Guy.
Wow. Wow.
That is just, it's so cool. And
it was so cool listening to that with headphones on.
Yeah.
Because she's wailing.
You can look that up on YouTube. Just do a search for Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, Hound Dog Live with Buddy Guy on guitar. And one of the things that is so cool about this year's Chicago Blues Fest, they're going to be doing a tribute at the Pritzker Pavilion to Women in Blues. To Mama Yancey and Big Mama Thornton, And they've got some of our friends. Sue Foley is going to be performing.
Nice.
The Nick Moss Band is going to be performing. Oscar Wilson is going to be performing. I find this fascinating. I meant to mention this to you. Did you see on, which day is this going to be? This is going to be on Saturday, June 6th at Wrigley Square, The Next Generation of Blues. And they've got the, from 1 to 145, Nicholas Senn High School is going to be doing a tribute to The Next Generation of Blues.
Well, that's interesting. My alma mater.
Yeah.
I got to look into that.
This is it's a really cool lineup.
Because it is.
It's going to be at Millennium Park, but all over the place, also in different clubs and things.
And you've got a month to make your plans to be here, because it all starts on the 4th of June, Thursday, the 4th of June, with the opening night at the Romova Theater, which that theater is really establishing itself.
Yeah.
It's used in January, February. Is it January when the Sox have their convention there?
And a lot of people initially didn't like that, but now they're kind of getting into it. It's a great location.
Yeah. It's a standing location. It is a theater. It's an old movie theater that's been renovated. It's lovely, but they don't have seats like they used to have when it was a movie theater. But they're bringing in some great music, and that's where they're going to kick off the Blues Fest on Thursday, the 4th of June, so just about a month from now. And then on Friday, it's going to be the 55th anniversary of Alligator Records, which gives us a good excuse to get Bruce Iglauer back in the studio with us.
Last time we had Bruce in was, what, on their 50th anniversary?
Oh, no. That 5 years ago?
Or what? No, this must have been their
40th anniversary. Yeah. And he came in here and we spent hours talking about...
God bless Alligator Records.
Yeah, and God bless Bruce Iglauer for hanging in there with Alligator Records.
And our friend Ronnie Baker Brooks is going to be performing.
Yeah.
And Nick Moss and Tinsley Ellis. Some of the other performers...
Oh, Taj Mahal's coming to town with the Phantom Blues Band.
You see Elvin Bishop and Charlie Musselwhite?
I don't know who's behind booking it this year, but I'm really impressed with the variety of people, men and women, old and young, that they're bringing in for Blues Fest this year.
I'm looking through. There's so many interesting people. Anyhow. I could get lost in the weeds here, but it's going to be really, really fun. And I'm doing a little bit of a segue, but speaking of blues, harmonica, we want to remind everybody next week.
Yes.
Partly personal, but we're really looking forward to this. Next week, we are going to have our very own Bob Kessler in studio with us. For those of you who don't know, you know Bob from his work as a newsman here at WGN. We hired Bob.
He was right out of
decades
college.
Ago.
Right out of college.
As a producer.
Yeah.
And we had more fun with Bob. He has developed the ability to learn anything he decides to put his mind to. He has mastered the harmonica, and he has a brand new album out called Frequency, which is Bob just doing crazy, wonderful things on harmonica. A lot of people don't know. Jeff, do you know that Bob has played the harmonica on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry?
I did. That was 2 years ago or something like that. I remember he was talking about it. I mean, I'm sure I've done it more than once. He's so talented. And didn't he make his way to Carnegie Hall, too, for an event last year?
Yep. Yes, yes. He was in a show where he was harmonicaist. Is that what you say? If you play harmonica, you're harmonicaist?
That's a good. We'll ask him.
Okay. Yes.
We'll get the definitive answer from him.
Yes. Next Saturday night, he'll be with us, and he won't be wearing his news hat next Saturday night.
No.
But news is next, right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now you may be wondering, why am I playing that song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know.
Some of you have been longtime listeners know a little bit of the history but there is a new addition, so I will try to compress this. That's a song, it's called Satan Is Her Name. I recorded that back in 1962.
I know. Good grief. You were only eight.
Recorded that for Mercury Records here in Chicago. It was produced by David Carroll. David Carroll, who used to record old people like Leslie Gore and the Platters and the Diamonds.
And Discovered.
The Smothers Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, back in the 60s, back in my early rock and roll days, it actually came close to being a hit record and was getting some serious traction in the South. And then,
which is kind of ironic if you think about Satan.
And then there was a promotional thing where a Leslie Gore record was released, the same record, the same week that my record was released. And Dick Clark was only going to go with one Mercury record that week, and the Mercury people got him to go with Leslie, and the rest is history. And we interviewed Leslie, and
we got
laughed
to thank
about
her.
It.
We got to thank her, because if her song had not been played and yours had been played, we probably never would have met.
That's true. So, point is, so that was then. Then cut to, I don't know, what, about 10 years or so ago, that we discovered that, for whatever reason, suddenly that record is selling in Europe and is being reissued. I don't know how many albums it has been reissued now.
By you.
But my version.
Right. There are a number of compilation CDs, three or four of them around Halloween. They come out with songs that are appropriate for your Halloween party. So Satan Is Your Name is one of those songs.
And then there are a number of European performers that have re-recorded it, and I'm flattered, and many of them have used pretty much the same arrangement, and I've been in touch with some of them. To bring it up to date, why am I playing it? We just found out, thanks to a listener who contacted me, that song, a different version of that song, is being used in a series that is called Sunny Nights.
Sunny Nights is a crime comedy drama, a little bit of everything, out of Australia.
And it's an eight-part series. At least the first season was eight episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curious, apparently it's at the end of episode two. And it's a version that is done by Holly Golightly, and in that version, Holly changed the gender from Satan Is Her Name to Satan Is His Name. And here's just a little bit of how that sounds. So that's Holly Golightly's version. And years ago, we found out about her version, and we've been in touch with Holly.
There's a punk version. There is a hard rock version or two.
Yeah.
There's the Polish version. There's the Czechoslovakian version.
It has a life of its own, but that
Romanian
version.
There's a Romanian version.
The version that we just played is the version that is being used in Sunny Nights, this Australian series.
Yeah.
And I think it's a hoot. We're going to try and see if we can watch the episode. I believe it's available on Hulu and maybe Netflix.
And it's interesting. If you type Sunny Nights and Satan Is Her Name into Google, the Googles will give you a story on a site called Prime Timer. And it says here, explore the complete Sunny Nights Season 1 soundtrack. So the music plays a very important part in the show. All the songs featured in the series are listed here. I don't know if they're making a soundtrack available. Probably if it...
I want to find out if they are. The Sunny Nights series, it stars Will Forte.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think we need to get Will on the show and talk to him about that.
Well, it says here, the crime comedy drama series Sunny Nights is known for its unique storyline and its distinctive soundtrack, which is related to the crime and comedy in the series. It's based on the story of siblings Martin and Vicky Marvin, who moved to Sydney to extend their spray tan business. Things don't go as planned for the siblings as they get embroiled in the criminal underbelly of Sydney. Soon they have to fight for their lives and attempt to stay out of jail at the same time. The soundtrack of Sunny Nights is one of the aspects of it that helps establish the tone of the show. Sunny Nights offers a very diverse soundtrack. The soundtrack consists of classic songs and indie music. Moreover, it also has modern songs. Sunny Nights has a broad soundtrack that adds to the impact of key moments in the show and builds an ambience with its sound. Whether it's a legendary artist or an indie artist, the music will beckon you. And some of the songs are Bad Man by Fight Master, Who Loves the Sun, The Velvet Underground, The Fire Inside, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Spring Cleaning, Fats Waller, I'm Not Your Dog, Baxter Dury, Wishing and Hoping, Burt Bacharach, On the Borderline, Sally Seltman, A Tender Touch by Stephen Gray, and Satan Is Her Name by Holly Golightly.
I just find it a hoot that something I wrote and recorded 64 years ago is still having a second life,
yes,
or a second, third, fourth, fifth,
yeah,
19th life.
She's not the only female that's doing the song either. There's the burlesque. The woman that does the burlesque act to Satan Is Her.
If you want to find out more about that, go to our blog. The blog address is stevenjohnny.wordpress.com, and do a search for Satan Is Her Name. And you'll see we did a number of posts with links to some of the song and kind of the history of the song, too. I'm fascinated. And this is a song I remember so specifically. As a teenager, mm-hmm, one night I was walking home from my girlfriend's house. I lived at 80th and Manistee on the south side. She lived at roughly 84th and Kingston. It was late at night, like 11 o'clock, something like that. I'm walking by myself and I'm just humming, and I get this melody going through my head. And
you had not had a fight with her anything, so she wasn't Satan.
I'm walking by myself and amusing myself by thinking of lyrics. And by the time I got home, I had the song pretty well done, and I just had to pick up a guitar and say, okay, are these the chords? And they were, and that's...
What's cool is, and again, Holly Golightly changed the gender, and she spices it up a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So when you listen to it, she drops an F-bomb.
In the very ending of the song, she drops. And yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think the way she did it, it absolutely fits in the context that she's doing it.
But I love, like, the San Francisco punk band that, lick for lick, they copied every lick that you're playing in the song.
Yeah.
I mean, they do your song, but they're singing it. But they do it exactly the way you did it. But it's fun, like the guy from Detroit that does the hardcore kind of punk version.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. But my favorite, hands down, has to be the kids that have the garage band in Poland.
Yeah.
And they recorded it, and then when you heard it, and really, they did a great thing because they synced it with a video, which a lot of people don't realize the video had been around for 60-plus years, too.
The video was from a Russ Meyer movie called Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Yes.
And his name was Ray Flash.
Ray Flash, yes.
And that video, I don't know how many... I'm going to have to take a quick look and see how many views
because
it has.
He put that together, and then when you saw that and you reached out to him, that was just the most special email because in his broken English, he was writing to you with so much admiration. I feel like Elvis just wrote to me.
It was really
He was 18
really
years old, scared to death, afraid you were coming after him. But at the same time, he was just, it's really, really very special. And they did a great job.
Yeah. So, again.
If you see Sunny Nights listed.
Let us know what you think of it. We haven't seen it yet. We're going to maybe check it out this weekend.
Thanks to the listener who picked up on the song and went, whoa, I know that song. I've heard that on the radio before.
So, So thank you.
Yeah, you know, thank you. It doesn't get us anything. Just to answer that question, somebody says, oh, do you get royalties? No.
No, and one of the reasons I don't get royalties, because the copyright laws have changed. So many things that were recorded in the 60s are now basically public domain if they haven't been recopywritten.
Yeah.
Recopywritten?
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. A little Satan is her name postscript. We did a check, and the version, my version of Satan is her name, that was synced to the scenes from Russ Meyer's movie, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, 2.4 million views. 2.4 million views.
If we had a penny for every view.
I know. And you just found something else, too. What is this all about?
On eBay, there's a copy available on eBay, and it says, in the midst of all the black print, in bold red print, it reads, this is a new Repro 45 RPM single.
Okay.
So does this mean this is a new copy that
Probably.
Has never been played?
What are they selling it for?
Because
that's freaky, too. But we've been occasionally checking out what some of my old singles is. And wasn't there one of the sites that
in
we
Ireland.
Found that in Ireland it was selling for like $400 or $500 for that single?
I'm like, we have a few.
Yeah.
For $350, I can work something, really. No, this is, it's got a life of its own, which is crazy.
Well, and then it was several years ago, I was contacted by the producer of a play in London.
Yeah.
Who wanted to use the flip side song called Long Lonely Road. Mm-hmm. He wanted to use that in his play. So there's that.
Oh, and there was a commercial, too. They wanted to use Satan in a commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, again, we got to get us a lawyer. We got any lawyers out there listening to deal with this kind of thing? Come on.
Well, honestly, I am going to look into some things because I know that on one hand, there's the record copyright, which is a distinct conversation separate from the composer royalties.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just going to look into it and see.
Yeah.
It's not going to buy us a new house. Or maybe it will.
Maybe it will. You don't know. I want to tie up a loose end here. We've talked, as we do every week, about the pictures that we post, taken on our way into work. You drive, I take pictures. And tonight, for whatever reason, I guess because some of the pictures really captured people's attention. The light is beautiful because it's staying.
Yeah.
Light later, and it's just really this 7:45, 8 o'clock period. It's just the sky is gorgeous. Anyway, I had 5 people that were questioning what I'm using to take these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple said, what camera are you using? And Bonnie said, I understand that you're using a Samsung phone. Yes, that's mm-hmm. what I use. I hold my Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, so it's not the newest one. I'm perfectly happy with what it does for me. I don't do any sweetening. I don't do any anything. I'm literally,
unless you specifically say, okay, I've done this in black and white or something like that.
Oh yeah. Or if, for example, in the studio with two walls of windows, if I'm trying to shoot out of a window and I'm getting a reflection, I will go in and I'll take reflections out so that you're actually just getting the picture. And sometimes you can't take all the reflections out, but you can still get a sense of the river and the boats and the Ferris wheel and all that other good stuff. But I just wanted to take a moment to say that I'm not using a camera, that I'm using the camera that happens to have a phone attached to it. And it's the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. And I think it was Bonnie that said, could you give me some tips? Okay, the best I can say is I use a, I guess you would call this like a book that my phone case is.
Yeah.
And I find that makes it easier to hold the camera steady because you're opening it like a book. And
so your phone case cover is
open.
This book. Yeah.
And then my thumb is like on the binding of the book inside. And so when you're driving at 40, 50 miles an hour, mm-hmm. I'm holding it with my elbow on the center console, shooting out the window. You're warning me when there are potholes coming up.
And also, one thing we should mention that both Johnny and I have, we have a lanyard.
Yes,
that
a wrist.
We connect to the... it connects under the case as the case
right.
goes around the phone, and then you can keep the lanyard around your wrist so you're not going to drop
right.
the phone.
And it also makes me feel like if I twist it around my wrist, it's giving me a little bit more stability.
Yeah.
So when I'm resting on the armrest, I'm holding my phone up, mm-hmm. and I decide, okay, I'm going to snap. And I don't snap hundreds of pictures. I try to be very selective because mm-hmm. when I get in, I only have a few minutes to go through and pick the ones that I want to put up online. What I do is when I decide I'm going to snap a picture is something that I was taught many years ago. Hold your breath for just that second that you're snapping, because that little bit of movement as you're mm-hmm. breathing can make a difference.
And then especially when you're in a moving car.
In a moving car, exactly.
Going over bumps.
I'm having difficulty getting the pictures out the side windows.
Yeah, like as we pass some of the areas with some of the boats, and that because of the nature of Johnny would have to look to the side, for whatever reason, side pictures, because we're moving...
become blurry.
It becomes a little more difficult.
Which is so weird, because I say this almost every Saturday when we're driving in and I get frustrated with the blurry side window pictures. Back in the day when I had an LG flip phone that had a 1-inch
yeah.
screen, I could hold it out the side window and take fabulous pictures of the sunrise over Lake Michigan. It was never a problem, but now the phones are so sophisticated. And I guess I could get in there and learn how to do some things that would make it. But I'm just aiming and shooting, just as simple as that. And so I wanted to take a minute and say, it's not a fancy camera. It's a good driver, because you warn me. We've taken the trip enough.
Yeah.
You say, okay, there's a pothole coming up or there's a big bump in the road, mm-hmm. and then I'm ready for it. And then I just snap, and thank you all for your nice compliments. Tonight's pictures really got people's attention, and I think it was because of the light as we were driving in.
Yeah, we are both Samsung fans. I have the Samsung Galaxy, I forget which one it is, but it's the flip phone.
Is that the flip? Because the fold is the one that
yeah, mine is the
folds
flip.
Like a book.
In fact, and I mentioned this because... when you look at our podcasts, the pictures that you see of us in the studio on the podcast are taken with my camera.
Mm-hmm.
Our producer, DeJure, takes the pictures, and then they go with the podcast.
And what you like about that phone, and again, it's got a great camera on it, is you fold it and you can put it in your front pocket.
Yeah.
And you had the one previous to this. And it had a problem where it folds, that crease was beginning to
yeah.
separate from the face of the
phone. But this one, I've had no problem
yeah,
with it.
Knock on wood,
yeah.
they worked it out, because that was the biggest complaint with the other one. People were getting their camera phone's screen replaced, and the problem was still coming up. So they fixed that. But again, just that simple. I know... I get lucky, because we're looking at the city. We're looking at the Drake Hotel. We're looking mm-hmm. at my favorite building on Bryn Mawr. And a lot of folks, they get a laugh out of the fact that I always have that building featured on Bryn Mawr. Why? Because it's such an unusual building, and I want the people who live there to see how much I love it and invite me over. That's why I do that every week. It's as simple
as
that.
But I like the other building that you got tonight, too.
Yeah,
Art Deco building.
And we pass it every Saturday night, and this time we stopped at the light there, and we both went, wow,
yeah.
that is a cool building. So I started with that building.
We are going to break for news, and after the news, we're going to say hi to Tom Appel and talk all things car. Tom is feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for those who were nice enough to ask about that. But the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now, that anytime you hear unusual music, That, of course, means that we're going to be talking about all things related to things with wheels and motors. And that is one of Tom's tunes, Tom's car tunes, Tom being the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, first of all, welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, and please accept my apologies.
Oh, are you kidding?
We're just glad you're feeling better and you're back on the radio.
I am. Thank you.
Good.
But we should say that this particular album, and we always have a different group of songs that Tom picks, it has been a journey to get this album on the air. I think that this journey started, what, a month ago, Tom?
Something like that, yeah.
So the first week, Tom had sent some links to stuff that we couldn't use.
Yes.
So then Tom was enamored enough of this particular artist and her songs that Tom went out, used his own hard-earned shekels to buy some CDs, which then he drove over to our house. So we physically have these CDs. So who is this person, and why are you stalking her?
And stalking almost accurately describes it. I tried to get files from her, but her website is terrible, and she did not respond to me. But I get that. I'm sure I come across as scary.
Well, she's really good, so I thank you for introducing us to her.
But introduce us to her. Who is she, and why do you care?
So that is a bassist by the name of Leslie Baker, and she's been a long-time figure on the L.A. jazz scene, but I think she's very locally appreciated. I don't think word's gotten out about her. She has three albums out there. They're all really, really good. You can download them on iTunes if you want. But that particular song was called Rain Dance off her second album called Askew 2, T-O-O. All of her albums are named Askew, which is odd. And it seems like an effort to not sell them.
Because there's but Askew, there you have it. And Askew 2, and Askew Me, and... and that's her singing too. I mean, she's not
that
just
is her singing,
a
yeah.
great bassist, but she's got an awesome voice too.
Yeah, and she plays electric bass and stand-up bass, and she's fun to watch. There's a couple of videos of her on YouTube performing live.
Did you
and
just
she looks like she's fun?
And you just stumbled across her music and went, "Oh, this speaks to me."
Yes, many years ago, actually, I simply bought the album for the cover. I'm like, "Who calls an album askew?" So. I looked at the album for a long time, and I bought it as a used CD maybe 20 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was. But I thoroughly enjoyed her music since.
And again, we'll bring this back to Things with Wheels. The whole point/excuse for this is that Tom uses different forms of music to test sound systems in different vehicles that he's driving. So I will ask, what are you driving this week?
Oh, man. And speaking of sound systems... I am driving you guys might be jealous, the 2026 Genesis GV80 Coupe.
Oh,
yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah, that came out last year. So it's a coupe version. This is very popular now with luxury car makers. You take your midsize crossover, give it a more rakish roofline, an even more posh interior, and you sell it as this design vehicle. It's a little less practical. It usually costs about $5,000 more than the base vehicle that you start with, but you do get a really classy looking thing. And in this case, it looks fantastic. I just finished photographing it today. Great vehicle. It's fun to look at. Gets pricey. This one gets up to $92,000. That's the one I'm driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, nice car.
And again, for people not familiar, Genesis is to Hyundai what Lexus is to Toyota.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm.
Is it comfortable? I mean, for a tall person?
What you really lose in this particular car is some cargo space, but there was a lot of cargo space there to give up and still render it practical. Mm-hmm. But I fit just fine in the back seat. Actually, I had my wife, Jill, drive me around a little bit today. So, it worked well.
I was thinking about the front seat. Our experience has been the center console is pretty chunky. And if you're kind of chunky, it can kind of cause you to feel a little bit squeezed up there in the front.
But that's in the GV80.
The Sport Ute.
Sport Ute that we have. Mm-hmm. So how different is the center console from the Sport Ute to the coupe?
That's a good question. The cars, the GV80 and the GV80 coupe came out 2 years ago, and then the GV80 was redesigned 2 years ago. I'm not having any space problems. I find it incredibly roomy. And for people who don't know, I'm 6'1 and over 360 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm a big test pilot.
Hmm. So the pictures will be up and your review will be up on Consumer Guide Automotive next week?
These are up. Yes. No, I'm sorry. This will be up in about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And speaking of reviews, we should mention that the review that we did with you of the Ford Explorer that we had on our trip to the Grand Canyon is now on the Consumer Guide website, correct?
It is, and it's nice to have because I rarely am exposed to base products. Mm-hmm. And what you guys drove was the rental car, mm-hmm. the kind of lower trim level. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, per your experience, it's a fine vehicle. Ford is down to just four trim levels for the Explorer, but it turns out there's not a base, really a base anymore. The one you drove was pretty nicely equipped.
Yeah, very nice.
And one of the things that we came away from the experience with was the perception that, A, it's a really good vehicle. B, if you can buy one of these rental vehicles, oh boy, would that be a bang for your buck purchase.
Yes, and if you're not afraid of cars that have been in rental for mm-hmm. fleets, there's a lot of people who believe that you should never purchase a vehicle that had been in a rental fleet. I don't tend to agree with them. You can have them looked at, and they do come with warranties. You can get a really good deal on one.
We've got a lot of ground to cover with you because we have not only recalls, but we have some...
In fact, just for a second, before we break, can we hold on recalls and Genesis... Mm-hmm. And there is a Genesis recall that we're being impacted by and by that a lot of people are being impacted by. And it has to do with what? It's like a
fuel pump.
No, is this the fuel pump or is this the... this is the one that we sent you about a week or two ago, Tom. So it may have gotten lost in your files. Because there was a previous... fuel pump recall that was been addressed, but this is a new thing that is going to be...
It's the fuel pipe.
Pipe.
Leak.
Yes.
Fuel pipe, okay.
Yeah, caused by insufficient torque on the fastening nuts. It could pose a fire risk. And this is for 94,000 Genesis, or do you say Genesis?
And I believe some of the Kias too, right?
Yes. And this was announced in early April. You should have received notification, or you can go to NHTSA and put in your VIN, and you will find whether or not your vehicle is part of this recall. But you will also find that there is no fix for it yet. So,
but also important to mention that unlike some of the previous recalls, this is not a because there may be a potential fire problem. This is not a park it until we get a fix
right.
notice.
There have been no fires.
Right.
What happened is there are improperly secured fasteners on the high-pressure fuel pipe, and that can loosen, causing a fuel leak. And the remedy is the dealers will inspect it, tighten it, or replace the fuel pipe. But they're not bringing people in with their Genesis yet because if they have to replace it, they don't have the parts. So they don't want you coming in twice.
But this is Tom, how would you phrase this? This is a cautionary recall because there have been, to my knowledge, zero cases of fire happening from this. They're just saying, okay, this is a possibility. We want to do preventive recall and get this taken care of.
So this is a voluntary recall for one thing. They've already identified the problem. Good on Genesis.
We're going to take a break and come back. We're talking cars, as we do a couple times a month, with Tom Pell from Consumer Guide Automotive. Stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, who is this and what is this?
That is Moore Leslie Baker, vocals by Earl Alexander. The song is called My Baby Stew off the 1997 album, her first album, Askew.
I like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff
here. Yeah.
Okay, so the blatant plug light has just started flashing. People mm-hmm. should go to consumerguide.com. And when they go there, what will they find, Tom?
All sorts of stuff. You can listen to our podcast right there. Lots of new reviews.
Tom, you've got to say mm-hmm. our award-winning podcast.
Thank you. Yes, our award-winning podcast. That feels like more self-promotion than even I'm comfortable with.
No. There's a lot of competition out there in the podcast world.
It ain't bragging if you done it, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yes, and this year we did receive an award from the Texas Auto Writers Association, of which my co-host Jill is a member. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate the recognition. So, yeah, you can download the podcast anywhere. It comes out Tuesday morning. We did skip this past Monday for a bunch of reasons. We apologize for that, but new episode coming soon.
And what are you in? You said you just finished with the Genesis. What have you? Did I see that you were in a Leaf over the past?
That was not me. That was actually a colleague, Tim Healy.
Oh.
Wrote a review. Where he was going to place that fell through, so he shared it with me. So yeah, the new Nissan Leaf, which is a shockingly affordable electric vehicle.
I know, that's what got my attention, isn't it? Like in the upper 30s.
Yep. Yeah, but I think the one he drove well equipped was about 41.
That's crazy, because so often mm-hmm. we talk about 50 seems to be
50 is now the mean pricing yeah. for most vehicles, isn't it?
Yep, but there are some surprisingly affordable that are worth looking at EVs, including the Chevrolet Equinox EV. The Chevrolet Bolt is back for a very short run because that space at the Wilmington, Delaware plant opened up, and General Motors like, why don't we build some affordable EVs? So those are coming out there too.
And that's Bolt, B as in boy, Bolt?
That's correct.
Right.
Yep.
The
Bolt used to be available as a sort of a small hatchback-y thing and as an SUV. Now it's just the crossover.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I hold you on E's and EVs? Because the listener had a great question. With gas prices such that they are, and we paid well over $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
We heard from the Crispins out in California. They paid $6 a gallon today, just Saturday. The listener wants to know, great question, is there any data, are you hearing that E's are on the rise because of the high gas prices?
We'll know for sure after June. A lot of car manufacturers no longer report monthly.
Mm.
You guys might remember the craziness of 10-day sales reports.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of manufacturers have backed off now to reporting only quarterly. So it's hard to know in the U.S., but signs point to, yes, there is some increased demand for EVs now, and some fewer out there too, right? Honda took some off the table, for example. But we do know that in Europe, the answer is yes, by a lot. There are certain countries in Europe right now where EV demand is huge. It's up also in China, and I suspect it is up here, probably not as much. But it makes sense now because the economics are clearer, I think, to people who might have been on the fence.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing, or do we know now, since this was just proposed, the possibility of 25% tariffs on vehicles that are brought in from other countries?
Oh, man. Yeah, the last one I heard was a 25% tariff specifically on vehicles from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And we just struck deals. I don't know what to do about any of this. I don't know how to follow it. I don't know how to report on it because things keep changing. But ultimately, if that happens, it will have an impact on pricing. Actually, I was listening to a podcast today produced by Automotive News, and one of the things that all the editors there believe is that manufacturers have been taking the hit on the bottom line so they would not have to raise prices. But at this point, the strain is starting to show, and probably during this model year, we will see several price increases that reflect, unfortunately, the impact of tariffs. And raising import tariffs another 5% on select cars from select nations will make that worse.
I want to ask a question, and I'm trying to ask it as non-politically as possible. Is this a crazy time in the automotive industry for them to figure out what they're going to produce and how they're going to sell it because of the seesaw of tariffs back and forth? I'm hearing rumors that there are some in the automotive industry that are saying basically, okay, just give us a roadmap and stick to that roadmap instead of this seesaw back and forth.
No, you're exactly right, Steve. All automakers ever want is certainty, and they don't have that right now. It makes it very difficult to make decisions. And unfortunately, the one decision they can and are making is to eliminate low-cost cars. So increasingly, we're going to see base trim levels and cheaper products disappear from the U.S. market because there's no way to make money on them anymore. If a vehicle was made in Mexico, for the most part, it's going to be gone. And we saw Infiniti eliminate two models that they were building in Mexico. The QX, what was it called? The QX, I think it was 30 and 35. Those are gone. And we've seen that the Nissan Versa has been eliminated, too, from the lineup. And that's a shame. The Versa, by the way, being the last $20,000 car available in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The last $20,000 car.
Yeah, there was a trim level just under 20, and that car is now completely gone. Really, and the $25,000 benchmark is going to dissolve very quickly because of the tariffs.
Is that going to cause many used car prices to start going up too?
Almost certainly.
Sure.
Yeah. One of the things I've been watching closely, and it breaks my heart, is that General Motors brought out four vehicles that they built at their Korean subsidiary, their South Korean subsidiary, and that's the Buick Envista, the Buick Encore GX, the Chevrolet Trax, and the Chevrolet Trailblazer. And these are very nice cars, very nicely finished, very roomy, very well executed. There's nothing here not to like. And they all started at one point in time under 25 grand and as low as 22 grand, but they're creeping up very quickly now. And it's a shame because it was such a great value play for empty nesters or first-time buyers.
We're talking cars with Tom Appel. We'll get you up to date on news and right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And, Tom, you want to explain who and what that be?
Yeah, some more Leslie Baker. That song is called No Wine, W-H-I-N-E, off the album Askew 2 from 2002.
Listening to that, I had two thoughts. A, I really like it. B, it's a shame I never had the chance to introduce you to Yvonne Daniels. You two would have really got along, because Yvonne loved jazz, knew jazz, and I think you two would have had some great conversations.
I don't remember her well from her on-air days, but thanks to a very robust interest in 80s, 70s and 80s Chicago radio, I see pictures of her all the time.
Yeah.
Yvonne, long story short, she was Billy Daniels' daughter, Billy Daniels, the legendary jazz singer, and she was in radio, was brought to Chicago by Gordon McClendon, first at WYNR, which was a competitor for WLS in the 60s, did overnights at YNR, segued from there over to CFL, co-hosting with Sid McCoy, doing a jazz show. Went from there to WSDM, smack dab in the middle in the den of Daniels. And from there, I met Yvonne when we both joined the Once Big 89 in 1973.
And bring it up to date, our now engineer, the keeper of the big plug, Bob, was her engineer.
Yeah.
I think at the very end of her career here in Chicago.
A real class lady. She wrapped up her career doing mornings at WNUA.
And as I say, groundbreaking for women in this business. We were very rare, and she was doing her thing and doing it so well. So
that's cool.
Thank you for introducing us to Leslie Baker. A couple of listeners are going, oh my God, she's been around for a while and no one ever gives her any love.
And I have to ask, so what car sound systems does Leslie sound best on?
Wow, she sounds great on the Genesis. This is a Bang & Olufsen,
That's hard to say. Bang &
Olufsen. Is it Bang & Olufsen? There we go.
Yeah.
Those guys, those Swedes.
Them Swedes, you know.
She sounds good on Swedish equipment.
Okay. So what else has been going through your fleet? What other cars has Consumer Guide been road testing?
Wow, what have we had recently? I drove, I think I mentioned this, but maybe I didn't because of skipping a week. But I drove the Chevrolet Chevrolet Traverse, which was redesigned a couple of years ago, and that is Chevy's big crossover. Mm-hmm. And Chevy doesn't always get the love I think it deserves. I think it's sometimes treated as a commodity product, but this is a big crossover, and it's in the same class as the Explorer you guys drove, but mm-hmm. secretly it's actually much larger. Rides on a longer wheelbase and has more cargo space. Not everything about it is perfect. I don't think the interior is nice enough in what they call their high country trim level, which is a premium trim level. It got pretty expensive, $61,000 without a hybrid system. Ooh. So I think it got pricey. I would definitely explore a cheaper version of this car. Ride, for handling.
A Chevy Traverse for $61,000?
$61,000, yeah. Now, it's the top trim level, but I don't think the top trim level makes it work.
Yeah.
But again, if 50,000 sadly is now the mean, 61, isn't that all unusual then?
Yeah.
Sadly.
It's not.
Yeah.
But for that money, I might want to try to find a hybrid. And in this particular case, the Hyundai Palisade, same class as well, does a wonderful job and delivers a hybrid for about the same money.
In fact, speaking of the Hyundai Palisade, let me bring in our producer. Jeff, you had a question about the Palisade?
Yeah, a friend of mine wants looking at that, the calligraphy edition of it, but they were told there's still the no sale order on that, and they can't get their hands on one, that they have to sit and wait because of a safety recall, the back automatic folding seats. Is there any movement on that?
I was told, actually, in my podcast 2 weeks ago, we had the folks from Kia on the show, and they were talking about the Kia Telluride, which is basically the same vehicle. And the stop sale has been lifted, so I don't know quite what the issue is, but it might have been taking a long time to fill the back orders of that vehicle.
Mm. It was incredibly popular. I mean, it was a really sad story, too, and freakish, and loss of life, which really gets your attention. But so again,
that's terrible.
The stop sale order has been lifted.
Yes, they should be available, but it's entirely possible to. It's just going to take forever to fill those back orders.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason that is too, they may have shifted production away from vehicles who have that. That was only in the top trim level.
Uh-huh.
You had mentioned the calligraphy, which was the top trim level, is the top trim level. So those also, it's possible maybe the stop sale is off, except for those.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told the stop sale was lifted, but I didn't get details. So I can check into that, too, and report back.
So I was bugging Tom at various points this past week about this bizarre story from Ford embracing AI technology. Right, Tom? I started bugging you on Monday, going, what? What is this all about? So Ford apparently has invested pretty heavily in AI technology for smarter vehicles, and they plan to introduce, they're calling it Level 3 Eyes Off Driving on their UEV, their Universal Electric Vehicles, for 2028. But thanks to TikTok, this thing has blown up, right, Tom? Because I sent you most recently a video of
it's
people
a crazy video.
Who are trying to get away from a tornado, but the car is telling them, oh no, your heart rate is too fast, you are too tense, you cannot drive the car, and the tornado is coming up behind them, right? I said, oh, Oh.
There's so much madness here, and it's almost a little bit like reaction to the COVID vaccine, except no one knows what we're talking about here yet. And in fact, I wasn't very well apprised of what was going on here, so I did a little digging. Mm-hmm. And apparently last year, Congress asked NHTSA, the National Highway Safety Traffic Administration, to look into doing something, and I'm just going to read this, mm-hmm. the Advanced Impaired Driving Prevention Technology. And what they're looking for is something that would prevent people who were too tired or too drunk or just too impaired for whatever reason to drive from driving.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like a lofty goal, and it sounds mm-hmm. like a good thing. The problem is false positives. and there's no way really to prevent that. So NHTSA thought about this for a while. They got back to Congress, and they said they don't see a way to do this right now. They think that no matter what they do, it wouldn't be very accurate. It would prevent people from driving when they could or should.
Like when the tornado's licking at your heels.
Right. So we're in a limbo period right now. We don't know what Congress wants to do with this. They're a little bit distracted, I think, at the moment. But we may see something like this. And the effect that we're looking for is something like a breathalyzer. And if you've mm-hmm. driven a car built in the last 5 years, you may have a vehicle that has an impairment or a fatigue warning that you often manifest on the dashboard as an icon that looks like a cup of coffee. And there may be text that comes up underneath it that says, take mm-hmm. a break, or we suggest taking a break. That's very passive.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty effective, too. I mean, maybe you don't know you're swerving a little bit. Maybe you don't know you're not staying mm-hmm. in the lane. So that can work. But Congress wants something that's more active that will stop a car from moving. And obviously, that's not safe, right? We know that if somebody needs to move because there's a tornado coming up behind your F-150,
yeah.
you might want to get going. So there's a lot of people wildly overreacting to what this is yet. I completely understand why people who worry about civil liberties might want to, mm-hmm. worry about this being over-restrictive. And I think it's great that people have their eyes on it. But we are nowhere near a car not letting us drive away from a tornado.
But I understand from what I'm reading that there are already 8 million Lincolns and Fords that will be on the streets that will have this assistance in it. Now, whether or not it's going to be completely shutting down if your heart rate is too high or whatever, but it's AI technology that I just hope when they sell the vehicles, they explain this to the purchaser, because I know our experience is recently purchasing a new car, one of the things that people complain about all the time is, I didn't know it was going to pull me yeah. back out of a lane if I tried to get over, and I didn't know it was going to tell me I needed to stop and rest my eyes or get a cup of coffee. And people are like really resistant to the technology because they didn't know it was there when they bought the vehicle.
Yeah, and lane keep assist like that, active lane keep assist, is absolutely stunningly frightening if you don't know it's there.
Right.
You but should know about that.
But it's also very, very effective.
Yeah.
And I always leave it on, and I consider myself a good driver, but I want it to help me be an even better driver. And I find it fascinating that people who buy a vehicle don't, and you don't have to be a car geek to do this, know the basic parameters of the car that you're going to purchase. And one of the parameters of, in our case, the Genesis GV80, is safety stuff. Stuff to make you as safe as possible, lane keep assist, rear driver alert, all kinds of things like that. So don't buy that kind of vehicle if you don't want that kind of stuff on a car.
Yeah.
One of the things, too, that's frightening, and I used to work in Morton Grove, they're on the northwest side of the city. A lot of older drivers, a lot of shopping centers, a lot of two-lane roads that are very crowded. And I would find suddenly that the obstacle detection system would kick in with no notice. And I wasn't driving differently. And it's absolutely frightening. The dashboard lights up red, the brakes start to work without you working them, and the car's bringing itself to a close because the car in front of you hit the brakes too soon. So you want to be prepared for that as well. Mm-hmm.
So it's safe to say then this whole idea of AI technology in vehicles, and in particular Ford seems to be the company that has embraced it so far, it's going to be polarizing. People are just going to either be crazy for it or hate it.
But also, I think, and I'm not sure where you put the responsibility, but with some of this technology, you shouldn't be able to purchase this vehicle until you have had a course in how to drive this vehicle.
Yeah.
Now, does the dealership provide this? Does the manufacturer provide this? Don't have the answer, but do I think it should minimally be offered as an option when you purchase the vehicle? Yeah, I think it should.
Hmm. Well, you guys remember the early days of my Ford Touch and my Lincoln Touch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which were the earliest days of voice commands in cars. And the systems were well-intentioned. In some cases, they worked okay, but they were early and experimental. And it turned out that people never got used to them and didn't like them. And at some point, owners of early Ford, like the Ford Taurus X and vehicles like that, were invited back to the dealership for an hour-long seminar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happened was that Ford was paying the dealer $50 per owner, and Lincoln owners $100 per owner, to bring those people back in and sit them through these seminars. Mm-hmm. And training like that should probably be essential. And if you're buying it like a premium vehicle from a premium dealer, often there will be a walk around of the vehicle before you take delivery. There should be. Mm-hmm. And some dealers are reimbursed in advance for that to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you don't get one, request one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tom, we're going to take a break, come back. Should we just cover some recall news before we let you, before we kick you out of here? Tom Appel is our guest a couple of times a month. He's nice enough to join us to talk cars from Consumer Guide Automotive. We're back after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, we're going to do an audible. You okay with hanging with us a little bit past the top of the hour?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because we want to try to sneak in a caller or two, and let's jump to Carl. Hi, Carl. You're on WGN. What's your question?
Hey, gang. Sorry, I had to get you off speaker. First of all, Tom, sounds like you're doing a lot better. I heard in the recent past you weren't feeling too well. You good to go?
Yep.
I'm good to go. Thank you.
Excellent. Anyway, I don't know if you've been down this road before or not, no pun intended. What's your opinion, Tom, on the 2026 Honda Prelude?
I'm going to give the nation's opinion first and then mine. I have not driven it. However, people should know that it is really a sporty version of the Honda Civic, and it's got some interesting characteristics. It's got the engine out of the Honda Civic Si, which is the There are two premium trim, sporty trim levels. The SI is the lesser of the two performance versions, in a very rakish body with a suspension from the Type R, which is very high performance. So the net result was a car that is fun to drive, good, looks good, but it's strangely pricey, and I'm not sure what its mission is. It comes only with a CVT style automatic transmission. There's no manual. And it's not very practical. The hatchback's not very big. And it's at $42,000. It's more than a Civic should probably cost. So I know lots of people who have driven this, including my podcast co-host, Jill Simonello, and they're all fine with it, but they don't get it. It's sporty, but you can get something that feels an awful lot like this by buying a Civic and paying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 less. So it's a strange car. I think it's going to be collectible off the bat. It's selling very poorly. So this may not be around very long.
Interesting. Good question, Carl. Thank you. We want to sneak another one in here, and we will get to recalls because Tom's going to stick with us after the news. So we will get to some of those after the news. But Tom is in Downers Grove. And, Tom, you have a question about an older vehicle, right?
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much. I've been hoping to speak to Tom for a while. Tom, yeah, I spoke to you before about a different car. I used to like the old Schlenz 6 motor. I've got a 96 Chevy Lumina. I had it for a few years, and it's only got 58,000. I got about 57,000 miles on the engine. I was in an accident. The body is really it's bad and rusted out, but the engine and transmission are really in really super shape. I know that car, for someone who really is into cars, could be used for some older model Chevys as well. I guess what I'm asking is there, are you connecting me to somebody that might want that car for more than just for junk? Because it, for some person who loves that type of car, that could be really a nice, you know, thing for a nice motor and transmission.
Yeah, that's probably the 3.1 liter V6, and that was in a bunch of cars, including Cutlasses and Regals and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know anyone individually, but a thought, I have a thought. If you thought about giving it to a high school or college.
Oh, great idea.
No, I would.
They would work on it. They would actually use it to learn, and especially if it is a working engine and transmission.
And that's just such a classic setup. You know, it's a front-wheel drive. It's a V6. That engine, there's parts for it everywhere because there were millions and millions of them made. But I think a shop class could do a lot with that. And they could do the body, too.
Really?
So that's one option. Another option is possibly donating it and taking the tax write-off. There are any of a number of places that will take cars. Just one off the top of my head, a public radio station, Chirp Radio, which is a great radio station on the north side, and they will take cars, and you get a deduction, and I think there are any of a number of places that you might want to think about doing that, too.
Hmm.
How would I find a high school, or just call around, or a shop, or how would I find a shop that would have that would want that car for students to work on and to fix it?
Just call the high schools. One place that still, I believe, takes cars, I'm sure of, is Harper College.
I was just going to say Harper College because I think they do have a shop class at Harper College, a great place to start. And in fact, if you want to keep listening, Tom, if anybody has a suggestion, we'll shout it out.
We'll leave the lines open, and if somebody wants to text us or call.
Yeah, we'll shout it out on the radio and get the information to you because that's great. Instead of taking a perfectly good engine and just ending up in a junk heap. I know we wrestled with that because we had a 92 Bonneville with 62,000 miles. And we thought, wait a minute, it's been
it's a great car.
Garage kept, and we were able to give it to someone who really, really needed it.
In fact, just within, didn't we find out within about the past 6 months, they're starting to rehab it and do some things to it. So
it will have another life. Yeah. Well, recalls that are coming up, I want to sneak in real quick because last week I said to you we needed to address the business of E85, E88, and ethanol. And a couple of people had said they wanted to know if with an older car, I think the woman who had texted us last week had a 30-year-old vehicle, is it safe to use this in a 30-year-old vehicle? So we'll touch on that when we come back and also roll through some recalls a few more minutes with Tom Appel. Right here. So stay with us.
And you should check out consumerguide.com and you will find all kinds of cool car information. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Hey, hey, old bean, and you too, baby. Welcome into Tom's Den. You're digging some of Tom's tunes.
Stop it. You're melting my microphone. That's some more of that good music from the Leslie Baker CD.
You want to explain what this is, Tom?
Yeah, I think that's the first cut off of Askew by Leslie Baker. That is Monsieur Philippe from 1977.
Actually,
I'm sorry, 1997.
That is the third cut, and it's called Layin' Low.
Oh. Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, then I called Layin' Low Monsieur Philip. I screwed those two up.
Oh, no.
They're both really good.
No, I know what happened. Okay, this is inside baseball, okay? Because Tom gave us a list of songs, and then he said, if needed, Monsieur Philippe. But we didn't use a song in the last break.
Oh, okay.
So this set our rotation off.
So what you're saying is Tom has not lost his mind.
Well, that's a totally separate discussion.
Never mind. Okay.
Actually, I have no idea who this Leslie Baker is.
That's right. You just drove to our house and left CDs in our basket in our hall. Which I still laugh at that because I said to Steve, we have an appointment. Tom says he might swing by. I said, oh, he'll never come all the way over here.
And we come home and we find these CDs. And the
Yes.
It was an excuse for my daughter and I to hit a great restaurant. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys do go to some good restaurants. You were up in Evanston, I think, that day.
Yep. She's a foodie. So
yeah. You found some good places.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay. We're not going to keep you all night. So
we're not?
A couple of weeks ago, a listener said, can you please get Tom to comment on ethanol, E85, E88? Is this something I should be concerned? I think she said her car was like either 28, 29 years old. I can relate. As I said, we had the old Bonneville. We still put premium gasoline in that Bonneville.
Yep.
Because that's what it required, and it ran well. But do you have to be concerned if you have a car that is that old, Tom, and you're using...
Yes.
You do?
You do. Yeah, if your car was built more or less before 2000, you're... excuse me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to take the extra alcohol hit. Essentially, all the gas we now use in Illinois is E10. So it's 10% ethanol, 90% gasoline, and that's fairly safe, especially for cars built in the last 30, 40 years. However, if your car is older, 15% alcohol might be a problem. One of the things that we worried about when we started using E10 was the fact that ethanol is especially corrosive and can be hard on fuel systems.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out it was never as bad on fuel systems as we had worried. That's the good news. But I think going 50% higher is worth knowing about. So if you can avoid gas stations that are selling what we're now calling unleaded 88 or E15, you should do so. Now, if you have to use it, I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about that.
Yeah.
But try not to regularly use it. And then, Johnny, you had texted me. This is interesting. This is just a 20-day trial by the EPA. So we're going to see this fuel show up and disappear pretty quickly, which means it may not show up very much at all.
So this is based on the question that a listener had said, is it true that E88 is going to be gone as of the 21st? And I wrote and said, of May? And
yep.
The texter said, yeah, I heard it's going to end the third week of May.
Hmm.
That's the first wave of it. And I think that the EPA wants to see if it has any impact on fuel prices. The problem is this is happening at the exact same time that we transition to summer blend fuel, which always screws up gas prices anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm. On the subject of E85, texter says, do not use the 15% ethanol in small engines like your lawnmower, your string trimmers, your motorcycles, etc.
I've heard that before.
I have heard that as well. I should have remembered that. Yeah, that's a great point.
Okay, since we're not going to keep you all night, I'm looking here as of May. That means we got quarterly information. This is Q1, and over 12 million vehicles have been recalled in the United States in this first quarter. Major action impacted 24 to 26 models from Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Jeep. And, of course, we've talked about those every time Tom's on the air with us. Key issues included the Ford Bronco, the Ranger seat, transmission issues, Hyundai Genesis seatbelt failures, Jeep Dodge electric instrument panel failures. And, again, this is just the first quarter. So what are we looking
at? What is this? Let me pause you on this because I was curious about this instrument panel failure. What is that all about?
Isn't that where it goes dark, Tom?
Which car are we talking about?
The Jeep Dodge.
Oh, yeah, that is selective. Usually when we're talking about instrument panel failure, it blacks out. But for whatever reason, in this case, it is selective failure where some information isn't showing.
Huh.
Very strange. But, yeah, we keep running into strange stuff in the microchip era.
Wow. And I think it...
But important because we get texts every time we talk about something like this. If you have whether it's a complete blackout or selective information that you're not seeing, is the car still drivable?
It's drivable. It's just there's certain information you're not getting that you might want. And in some cases, obviously, the single most important thing is your speed.
Yeah.
You want to get that. So,
and I'm sure the officer is not going to buy it when you say, but officer, there's been a recall on my speedometer.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was going 10 miles over.
And we can go back to the dawn of the computer, the home computer, too. What sometimes works is pulling over, turning off the car, and starting it again.
Yes. That, how many times, Steve?
We have done that. We learned that from a service advisor years ago, and we've done that. But it's turn it off,
open your door. Close your door.
Close the door.
And
because then it's like you're completely rebooting the computer, then turn it on, and chances are 50% that'll work.
Yep, for a while.
But you just made me flash on the last ticket that I was given, and I don't know how many years ago this was.
It has to be over 40 years.
I was ticketed by an officer for the exceeding the speed limit, and legitimately, my speedometer had said that I was doing the speed limit. He gave me the ticket. I went in, had the speedometer checked. Turned out there was a problem. The speedometer was fixed. I go to court. I show up. I have the receipt where I had the speedometer fixed. And the officer showed up, and he was all huffy and puffy. And I show the judge, and the judge says, well, now, what do you think I should do? And the officer was hoping that I would get whatever the penalty was. And I just said, Your Honor, I wouldn't presume to make the kind of decision. And she basically, I schmoozed her. She bought it, and she said, case dismissed.
Wonderful.
You're good to go.
I wouldn't presume
Wow. I love that. I'm also making a mental note of it.
Did you guys see where The Rock was stopped in L.A. the other day? And can you imagine, you know, you walk up to the car and you go, hey, you look like... He was stopped because his windows were tinted too far down.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like an inch and a half too far down. And people are going, wait a minute, there are criminals on the street. That's The Rock. Maybe he didn't want everybody to see his face every time he pulls up to a light. Which could be, if you think about it. Because he is
Shortly after my daughter was born, I moved from an Acura Integra, a small coupe, to a Nissan Maxima that was about a year old. And it had deeply, deeply tinted front side windows. And I was promptly pulled over, going from Chicago to Rolling Meadows Palatine. And in front of the officer, I simply peeled the tint off.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Yeah. And he's like, well, no problem, no ticket.
Good one.
You're lucky you could just do that, just peel it right off.
It was really easy to do. I was surprised.
Okay, make a note. Next time you're on, we'll do the little topic thing and maybe have people text or call in. Ways you got out of a ticket.
I would never suggest crying.
Excuse me?
It doesn't work for me.
Excuse me?
Well, now wait. In all fairness, I was very stressed. We were newlyweds.
Yes.
And we had a fight over the vacuum cleaner. And I was driving to work, and the officer pulled me over, and I started crying.
Yes, Jeff, it really was over a vacuum cleaner.
And I started crying, and the officer said, lady, why are you crying? He was so frustrated because I was crying. I said, because I'm a newlywed and we fought for the first time ever. And he says, the first time? And I said, I'm not lying, officer. He goes, get out of here. Get out of here.
And I don't even remember what it was about the vacuum cleaner.
I remember it was the vacuum cleaner because when I said that, he looked at me like, really? The vacuum cleaner? Yes, and I've only been married for 3 weeks, officer.
This sounds like a Dick Van Dyke Show episode.
It does. It does.
Well, and this would be in the same episode where Johnny got upset because I was taking a jacket on our honeymoon.
Oh, stop. That was actually our first argument.
Well, and then who wound up wearing my jacket on the honeymoon because it was cold?
All of our pictures on the honeymoon, I'm wearing his coat because... He took a coat, and I was so mad. I said, you know by taking a coat it's going to be cold? And he said, you know you've lost your mind? I said, no, don't you know that's the rule of the universe? His father calls from Florida, and I get on the phone, and I start boo-hooing. Honey, what's wrong? He's taking a coat on our honeymoon. Literally. And it was really cold in North Carolina. It was miserably cold.
And the name of the show is I Married a Sitcom.
Well, you know, it's a vacuum cleaner, it's a jacket, it's not the end of the world, right? You've been around long enough to know that.
Tom, the blatant plug light is flashing, so before we toss you to the curb, what do you want people to know about Consumer Guide?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. We didn't talk about it today, but my review of the Subaru Forester Wilderness is up. That car is surprisingly nice. And if you're a Chicagoan, having a Subaru is not a terrible idea.
I love that car.
Take a few seconds. Go ahead. What'd you think of it?
So the Wilderness is a special off-roady version of Subarus, and you probably think all Subarus are slightly off-roady. This takes it a little bit further. Black wheels, some extra body side protection, a little bit more ground clearance, plus some real off-road stuff, including a little extra torque to the back end through special gearing. But it feels fun to drive. It has beautiful outside visibility, and I forget this about the Forester. You can see out in every direction. It's wonderful to drive. Perfect for driving around in the fall if you're looking for leaves. Lots of rear seat space. A lot of character because the engine sounds just a little bit gravelly because it's that crazy boxer four. Everything here is worth knowing about. But if you're thinking about a CR-V, if you're thinking about a RAV4, if you're thinking about an Equinox, throw this car on the list, too. You want to drive the Forester.
Subaru makes some great vehicles.
I know. I really
like
it.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, we own one.
Real quick, I want to sneak this in. Caller says Ron from Naperville wants us to know that Triton College in River Grove has a huge automotive program, and they may take that vehicle as a donation. So, Ron in Naperville, thanks for that info. And another listener says he knows somebody who would desperately love to have that motor and transmission. So, if the caller wants to come back, I think his name was Carl, maybe I can connect it with this guy who knows somebody who would desperately love to have it.
So we that's good to hear.
Make a connection there. All right, Tom, thanks a million for your time, and keep feeling good. And thanks for the music, the Leslie Baker CDs. Thanks a bunch.
That was fun.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys liked it. I really wanted you to hear it.
Appreciate it. Have a good week. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's David Allan Coe, and You Never Even Called Me By My Name.
And if you listen to this radio station back in the Bob Collins day, you know this song.
Yeah.
He made it a hit.
He really did.
Because it was kind of an outlaw country, bubbling under, wacky little tune. And David Allan Coe had some success, but I'm serious, in Chicago, Collins played it enough.
Yep.
That the label went, what's happening in Chicago?
Yeah.
That's weird. We got something happening there. And that was Collins, the Collins effect.
And sadly, we lost David Allan Coe this past week.
Yeah, 86 years old.
Yep.
And had an interesting life. I don't know if you saw any pictures of him in his final years. Long braids, kind of Willie Nelson thing going on.
He actually kind of was the guy that he wrote about.
Yeah, yeah. And he was a good writer.
He wrote things for other artists, like Take This Job and Shove It.
And those voices when he's doing the, you sound like, that's him singing those voices, like Willie or Waylon or Merle or whomever. But he was surrounded by his family, and I think he had like a half a dozen kids, and they were with him, and 86 years old.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we've had a lot of people texting and saying, you said Johnny was going to give a gluten-free recipe.
I have a gluten-free recipe. It is Celiac Awareness Month, so each week we're going to take, each Saturday night, we're going to take just a little bit of time and share a recipe for you, with you.
So that's coming up after the news. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Phil Hates Gluten and the Gluten-Free Grocery List Wrap. You can find that on YouTube. It's very funky and very well done.
It gives a shout out to some of the products that we live on.
Yeah. And for those of you who are just joining us, May is Gluten or Celiac Awareness Month. And for the past quarter century, I have been on a gluten-free diet. Was diagnosed with celiac sprue back in 2001. And Johnny was nice enough from day one to turn our house into a gluten-free house, gluten-free kitchen. She has learned how to cook wonderful, and I don't say this just because we're married. She is a wonderful cook.
All of that I did, even though you took a jacket on our honeymoon. Even though you wouldn't listen to me, but you did let me wear your jacket. So that's why I am gluten-free. And I've had fun. I really have. It's been fun taking recipes that I grew up with, recipes that we thought, well, that would be interesting, yeah, and then adjusting them so that they are safe and they're mm-hmm. gluten-free. And we entertain all the holidays. We have family over. No one knows if they're eating an entirely gluten-free meal.
And I want to emphasize that because so many people think, oh, I can't stand the taste of gluten-free. If you don't know, if nobody tells you, and Johnny puts a dish down in front of you, you're going to say, this is a great meal.
So tonight I'm going to share with you a recipe for stir fry, because that's a great quick meal that you can have as long as you have the ingredients in the house. And nowadays you can walk right into your Jewel or Mariano's or wherever and walk over to the soy sauce aisle, the Asian food aisle, and you will find, I use the Kikkoman because it's very popular, very readily available, and next to all of the other soy sauces, which have wheat in them, there is the one that is labeled very boldly gluten-free. And I'm telling you, it tastes just like the one that has
it
wheat
really
in
does.
It. It's just, it's amazing. And you probably pay a little bit more because they don't have the wheat added to it, but yeah, that's the reality, and at least it's available. Because 25 years ago, gluten-free soy sauce was not a thing. We could not mm-hmm. get it. We could not have, I think it was probably 10 years before we could have stir fry or anything yeah. that was like an Asian meal.
But it got to the point where when we were in Florida, there was our favorite restaurant, the house, our favorite Asian restaurant, the House of Chan. And we would go there and bring our own gluten-free soy sauce, and they were fine
well,
with it.
Well, actually, we gave her bottles yeah. to keep in, and we said, if people come in, because they assume because it is stir-fried, things are made fresh, and it's served with rice, that it's going to be safe. But then we quickly learned that it's not safe if they use soy sauce mm-hmm. that is not gluten-free. So we said, here are a couple bottles, leave them on the shelf. And then she was yeah. always really good about making our food when we were there. So it was the least we could do is to give it mm-hmm. for other people who would come in to eat it. So the sauce is the key, I think. And over time, I think I've pretty well perfected it. And it makes it.
We had this just a couple of nights
ago. Did.
And it was wonderful.
And I took a picture
of. In fact, I'm getting hungry for it now that you're talking about it.
I took a picture of the chicken stir fry that we had. So you take your chicken or beef, and I cut everything up into bite-sized pieces so it looks good and it's easy to eat. You don't have to have a knife with your fork. So you are going to, in your big skillet or your wok, a little bit of oil, get it good and hot, put your meat in there, saute it, and because they're small bite-sized pieces, it's only going to take a couple minutes to get that done. Then just scoop it out of the skillet, and in that very same skillet, you can add your veggies. We like to have broccoli, snow peas, carrots, onions. Sometimes I'll toss in a green pepper, red pepper, something for color. That's not necessary. And you could just use broccoli. You could just use snow peas. I mean, whatever your family will eat, whatever sounds good to you. So now that's in the skillet. Now you've got to turn down low because you've got your sauce. This is the secret sauce. You're going to add your sauce to those vegetables. And that's a quarter of a cup of soy sauce, gluten-free soy sauce. Just a quarter of a cup. Very salty. You don't want to go much more mm-hmm. than that. Add to that a half a cup of water, 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 teaspoons of minced garlic, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 teaspoon of sesame oil, and that's it. You mix it up, pour that over your veggies, and then start stirring it around so that the sugar dissolves, and now here's where the magic happens. You put the meat back in there. Now, if you're dealing with frozen vegetables or raw vegetables, maybe you want to steam them first, or with your frozen vegetables, let them stay in the skillet long enough so that they're obviously thawed mm-hmm. out. Now, when you add the meat to the veggies with the sauce, with 1 tablespoon of cornstarch and about an eighth of a cup of water, cold water. You add that cornstarch to the cold water, stir it up, cause you're a little slurry. Put that in the skillet and watch the magic when that sauce starts to thicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it sticks to the veggies and it sticks to the meat. And basically, you're
done. I'm so hungry for that right
now. You're done. And then you got your white rice, brown rice, whatever rice you're going to have. And you serve it hot and you scoop this up and put it on top. And I'm looking at the picture and it was so good because we had fresh carrots,
mm-hmm.
onions. I used frozen broccoli. And at the end, I didn't have it in the picture, but I added some water chestnuts, just a can of drained water chestnuts. But the sauce is the secret. And a lot of people will say, oh, but, you know, it's so complicated. It's, you know, a tablespoon of this and a teaspoon of that. And once you buy a bottle of sesame oil, it'll probably last you a year and it's going to be fine in your cabinet. The soy sauce will last. I mean, you'll get a lot of meals out of a bottle of soy sauce, a bottle of sesame sauce, a little bit of garlic, some brown sugar, and you're set. So you've got some leftover steak that you had maybe two nights ago. So now you chop it up and you don't even have to saute that. You just want to get it warm. And then add your vegetables and then the sauce and just let it get all bubbly and
it's so good.
Thicken up. And it's really, really yummy. So we will post this recipe for you.
Yeah, that's you will find the recipe on our blog. And let me add, too, that this sounds like it's going to take forever because of all the detail that Johnny added into the recipe. But and you're the one who does the cooking. I'm the one who just does the eating and the applauding. But it doesn't really take that long to do it.
Well, that's why I wanted to start with the stir fry, because if you come home from work and I think it would be easier if you're really pressed for time to use frozen vegetables than it would be to use fresh vegetables, because fresh broccoli, you're going to have to steam it, and that's going to take a little bit longer. But, of course, you could steam it while you're whipping up the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have this on the table in a half hour easily.
Yeah.
With the time that you're taking care of your rice while you're making the sauce and the veggies are sautéing a little, you're set. And it's really, really a great meal if you have leftover chicken, as I say. You've got maybe a chicken breast left over, and you're like, well, what am I going to do with that? Chop it up. And when you put it with the sauce and the veggies, you're good. You got a great meal. It tastes clean.
I'm not kidding. I am so hungry for this right now.
I know. I hear you. And the key is to make it gluten-free is the gluten-free soy sauce.
But again, if you didn't write all this down, don't worry. It will be on our blog. And again, if you haven't checked out our blog, please do. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd love it if you would subscribe. There is no fee. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime there is a new post. And that recipe will be up on the blog, as are the Empty Pockets videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention, because we're running short on time, that next week we have a full show, and one of our guests next week is going to be Bob Kessler from our news department. But Bob has a terrific new album that is out, and it's Bob playing some wonderful harmonica.
And his CD is entitled Frequency, which is appropriate because he's a radio dude as well as a musician. So we've got a lot of ground to cover with Bob since we've been together for decades, since he was just a child, right out of college.
Hope that the lights are starting to blink.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing the sound of a big plug Bob on the Zamboni getting ready to clean up the studio, and that means it's time for our last call.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to be our last caller and win some prizes from the WGN Radio Prize List, as long as you have not won in the past 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first.
And as we like to say, you don't have to have anything pithy to talk about. You can just kind of share with us, are you a Cubs fan, a Sox fan? Yay, Sox! This is so exciting.
Yeah.
And by the way, Cubs, we started out the show tonight reminding you that today, Sunday, at Wrigley, it's going to be Celiac Awareness Day at the Cubs game. So you can take the family if you're concerned about eating food that is safe.
But if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200.
And you could win some goodies from this here radio place.
Maybe you got a recipe or a suggestion for something you'd like me to try. I would be game to do that as well.
Yeah, because you have fun taking some regular recipes and just turning them into a gluten-free goodie.
In fact, on our blog, you can even type in the words gluten-free and a whole bunch of recipes will come up, like for special occasions. If you're looking for a cake or cookies or casserole or something like that, I probably have about a dozen recipes up there already. But we're going to keep adding to them throughout this month because we have 5 Saturdays in the month of May. Can you believe it's May already?
Is it May already?
It is.
Golly.
I blinked. It was Christmas and now it's May.
We'll take a break.
Yep. Hello, it's in time. Yeah, you really kind of do. Nope.
And what do we always say? If you hear the whole song, we ain't coming back.
And if you would like to hear the rest of that song, look it up on YouTube. It's the closing song by Red Peters. And when you listen to that, you will understand why you ain't never going to hear the whole song on this here radio place, unless it's our absolute last show.
Our swan song.
Yeah.
our walk-in song.
Yep.
Our don't let the door hit you on your way out song.
We should remind you that next week we do have a full show.
We do.
Dr. Patrick Crispin will join us. We'll take care of all kinds of computer problems. We will have another one of Johnny's gluten-free recipes because May is Celiac Awareness Month. Bob Kessler from our news department will be in the studio with us. He has a brand new album called Frequency. He's a terrific harmonica player. He's a man of many hats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little bit of what happens on a full show that starts at 9 o'clock next Saturday night. And Jeff, do we know who is our producer du jour for next week?
You have to check the menu when you come in. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, boy. But you'll be back with us in 2 weeks, right?
I will certainly be here.
All right. No, good deal. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We have 5 Saturdays in the month of May. I'm going to say 5 is our lucky number this month. So number five, and that would be?
Number 5 would be Kim.
We're going to Wisconsin.
Hey, Kim. What part of Wisconsin are you calling from?
Hi, Steve and Johnny. Oh, my God. I can't believe I got through. This is fantastic. I live in Brookfield, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee.
Sure. So are you typically with us on Saturday nights?
Yes. I have been listening to you guys, like, probably for 30 years, and I've never called before.
Oh, really? You're kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been a very longtime fan.
Well, that's very sweet.
Well, you have a high level of tolerance. I appreciate that.
I also think you must have been growing up with us based on the sound of your voice, right?
Oh, well, you're very kind. You're very, very kind. I'm a little older than I probably sound, but just turned 60 this year. So.
You're a kid.
But wait, time out. I literally thought you sounded like you were 30.
Yeah. Oh.
You have a really, really young voice.
You really do.
That's awesome. I wish my face matched.
Well, you know what? The beauty of radio is we all have a great face for this job. So,
what do you do when you're not listening to us?
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, I've been unemployed for the past 14 months. I unfortunately lost my job, but
I'm sorry.
I've been working the gig economy, and actually tonight I was delivering pizzas for Rosati's.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's actually been fun. I actually really enjoy it. And, you know, the bonus perk is I get good pizza, so
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But you have to pay for gas in your vehicle, don't you?
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is until I can find something, you know, else. At least it's fun and I get to meet cool people you know, it's something to keep me busy.
Can I just say as an aside to people, please, if you're going to order food to be delivered, don't be cheap when it comes to the tip because these people are paying for their gas to bring your food
to you. Yeah, thank you. No, our customers are actually pretty good. It's been really nice. They've all been really nice. So.
Good, good.
Are there any too rich for radio stories from your pizza delivery days?
Oh, gosh. No. Actually, everybody's been pretty good. I'm sure something eventually will come along, but so far so good.
Nobody answered their door naked or...
No.
No.
But you know what? The pizza delivery sign flew off my car today.
Oh!
You know, we've got this little lighted sign, and I made a turn, and it went boom off the car. So I was like, that was something interesting. I hope that doesn't happen again.
Oh, gosh, it didn't hit anybody or anything, did it?
No, luckily it didn't.
Yeah, because that would be really smart if you're waiting at a crosswalk and a pizza delivery sign hits you upside the head. That would really hurt.
Yeah. But strange ways to die, right?
Yes.
If you weren't delivering pizza in your perfect world, what would you be doing?
Oh, my goodness. If I wasn't, probably taking photographs of exotic beaches and places.
Oh, good.
Really?
Yes. Are you a musician, photographer? What did you do for all those years until 14 months ago?
Yeah, corporate communications.
Oh.
So, okay. Yeah, write, edit, you know, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So,
it doesn't sound like
that. And then, actually, for a portion, I was actually teaching corporate cybersecurity, so I love listening to Patrick when he's on, too.
Yeah.
I hear so much good stuff from him. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it seems like that would be a in-demand kind of profession.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
You would think, but, you know, I think it comes down to when you get a little bit older, it gets harder to find a new gig. So there's some of that creeping into. But you know what? I'm hopeful. And, I mean, whatever's going to be, you know, my last time in, you know, the work world before I get to retire at some point, it is what it is. And, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm really having fun trying to just, you know, hustle. I guess I'm in the hustle culture now. So.
You have the best
attitude. You
good
really
for
do.
You. Some smart person is going to hire you.
Yeah.
From your mouth to God's
ears.
Yes.
I love that phrase, too, because I say it all the time. Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Kim, I'm thinking you should get you a gig at the Wisconsin State Fair. I think you should work the fair this year.
Oh, there you go.
You could see some
would be interesting too.
Good music, good people, cream puffs. You could have all the cream puffs and corn on the cob while you're there.
Elephant ears.
Elephant ears, yes.
I want to eat all the cream puffs, though. They're so good.
Oh, and you know what? Whatever you do, if you do get a job there, do not let them talk you into making the elephant ears, because I understand a friend of ours did that one summer. She said, just kill me if I ever have to do that again, because it's usually very hot in August, and you're standing there over a pit of hot grease.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would
be horrible. No. Go with the cream puffs.
I'll go with the cream puffs.
Kim, again, a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for listening over the years. We are tickled that you're going to be wearing an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
And Kim, I have a question for you. Do you have a CD player?
Yes.
Do you have one of our Life After Dark CDs?
I do not.
Oh.
Now you do.
Yes, you do.
One is going to be on its way to you.
Yeah.
Would you guys autograph it for me?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Yeah, we really will.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you so much. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much for hanging in there too, Kim. And we do appreciate it. Jeff is going to get some info from you off the air. And tell him you want us just to say to Kim, or what else you want us to autograph it. We'll certainly take care of that this week.
Yeah, we'll sign anything but blank checks.
You're right. Well... He's so nice. I don't know.
Wow, this has been a fast 5 hours. Started out strange.
Yeah.
And then continued being strange.
Yeah.
But that's just us.
That's okay.
Next week, we have a full show. Start at 9 o'clock. Bob Kessler is going to join us. Dr. Patrick Crispin is going to join us. Hopefully you will join us. And we'll uncover together who our producer du jour will be.
I know we started on a correction. My correction is I am here tomorrow. I have my weeks, or next week. I have my weeks off. So I am with you next week.
All right.
Okay. So we wrap up with a correction.
Exactly.
So we've
started.
Come full circle. Okay.
That's right. We started with corrections. We end with them.
See, you,
all right.
You think we don't plan this show?
Really?
Boy. okay.
Thanks to Bob and Ron and all the ships at sea, and to you for hanging out with us. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.